Roll call. Dr. Mitchell.
Yes. Lynn Ebenkamp. Angelina Pride. Present. David Malkin. Present. Donna Friedman.
Here.
Carrie Chen.
Here.
All board members are present.
Are there any changes on item to be pulled from the agenda? Can I? Any changes?
Yes. The board has informed me of three items that they would like to have pulled. David Malkin has requested that item 9B4 from consent be pulled. Angelina Pride has requested that 9B10 be pulled. And Angelina Pride has requested that 9B11 be pulled. All three items are from consent. From staff, there's just a note that the HR report that was attached to the board agenda was updated and uploaded. So what you're taking action on is a slightly altered HR report. It is accurate online at this time.
Okay. So kind of a motion and to adopt the agenda of regular board meeting with 9B14 and 9B10, 9B11 to be pulled from consent calendar. Need a motion. Janina Price, second, and Donna made the motion. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed session items?
None have been received.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. So we recess to closed session at 4:40. We have returned to open session at 6:04. Flag salute by Viracocha Elementary School student Niaf Hernandez. Is she here? Nia?
Yeah. Yeah, okay, perfect. Okay. Right here on this little step, honey. There you go. You got it. There you go. Take us.
Please stand and place your hand over your heart.
Good job.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated.
Good job. Way to go. Perfect.
Good job, Nia.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Closed session report. Nothing to report at this time. Okay, next, board recognition. Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you very much. We have a lot of recognition tonight. There's so many fabulous things that are taking place in our district. At this time, I'd like to invite the board to come down to the front so that we can greet the folks that we are recognizing. And I invite Gina Ward, our public information officer, to come to the mic to do our first two recognitions.
All right, everyone, good evening. Tonight, it is my pleasure to recognize two outstanding organizations that provide valuable resources for our role in Unified School District entire community. The West Covina Sunrise Rotary has partnered with our district since 2008 with a very special holiday event called Shoes and Socks. Each year, one of our schools is the lucky recipient to have more than 100 students in need receive an early Christmas present, the chance to go shopping and pick out any shoes and socks that they desire, and they even get to meet Santa, of course, and have gifts and presents. It is one of my favorite events of the season, watching our kids' faces so excited as they shop. They shop at the West Covina Plaza and at the Payless Shoe Source, and the wonderful West Covina Sunrise Rotary Club members and volunteers help the students size and select their favorite shoes. This past year, students from Yerbita Elementary were selected. The Sunrise Rotary also selects one school from West Covina Unified to participate. Members fundraise for this event each year by hosting a special day at the theater, where seniors receive a catered lunch and attend a special theater production. 100% of all the money raised from the special raffles that day support the Shoes and Socks event. Please join me tonight as we thank the West Covina Sunrise Rotary for their support of our students and our schools. Can I have the following West Covina Sunrise Rotary members join us to the podium? Mike Flowers, who is the immediate past president and current school board president for the West Covina Unified School District. Don Fernald, co-chair and club treasurer, and gosh, I think Don is familiar around here that we know, who's also a Rotary District co-chair. And then Luann Arredondo. She's the Rotary District 5300 governor nominee, the PR chair, and she's the governor nominee for 2019-2020. And now I'm going to switch hats and also take their picture. So. Be a stranger.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, next up. These two sisters have been coined by the media and the community as the Soul Sisters. Monica Gonzalez and Anne Marie Smith are proud Roland Unified District alumni. They attended Via Corta, Gianna and Nogales, and are also proud Latina entrepreneurs and co-owners of the Italian-inspired footwear company and children's boutique Altabella Scarpa. They remembered what it was like to get a new pair of shoes for the first day of school and the look on the face of the child who couldn't. They decided to make a difference. With every pair of shoes purchased from their company, they would give away a free pair to an American child in need. They started with their hometown schools. They attended and created girl-powered give-back events with us, Roland Unified, where 300 girls from RUSD were selected to receive beautiful shoes, and then it kept growing. Backpacks filled with school supplies, haircuts, amazing community support, special treats, and it just kept growing. So now it is the 10th year of our partnership, and they have given the biggest give-back to date. They surprised the district last month with a massive donation. I got a call. We had to alert all of our staff and got ready for trucks to arrive. That's right, because 5,121 pairs of their beautiful designer shoes landed here at the district. So, and I'm going to open these because they are just darn adorable. And women inspired, and when you see these amazing shoes that say, I dream, I matter, live, friendship, and they're all about girls and women empowerment, saying that they matter. So we're very excited and thrilled. So imagine what 17 pallets of shoes looked like. And imagine they're still here, by the way, but not 17 pallets. I want to thank a huge coordination by our own purchasing department, Rosanna McLeod. Thank you, Rosanna, our team of warehouse, and our wonderful staff at the Family Resource Center. They have been hopping to make sure that these shoes have been put in place in our community and on the soles of the feet of our children and also families, because they come in women's sizes too. So they've been at father-daughter dances. We've been giving away different open houses. And next week, next Saturday, is one of our biggest events for the community. It's our district's Safe and Healthy Kids Fair, and we'll be also giving that to the community. So we're very excited on that. So please join me and join us as we thank Monica Gonzalez and Anne-Marie Smith. Come up to the podium, my friends.
Good evening. I'm here to talk about the Northam Elementary Science Olympiad team. Under the direction of their teachers, who are also their Science Olympiad coaches, Mrs. Vanessa Salas and Mr. George Buckmeyer, the students came together in a regional competition that was held between teams of students representing elementary, middle, and high schools. This competition is devoted to improving the quality of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. It recognizes outstanding achievement in science education by both students and teachers. All the activities are rigorous, academic, interscholastic, and consists on a series of events that must be effectively executed in order to gain points. Points determine if a team places honorable mention, bronze, silver, or gold. Northam has been competing in the Science Olympiad for the past 5 years and once again have earned a prestigious silver medal. We would like to thank their coaches, Ms. Salas and Mr. Buckmeyer, who support their students before, throughout, and after the competition, as well as all of the teachers at site and parents who helped during the competition. Northam is extremely proud of each and every student. Please join me in congratulating the Northam Elementary Science Olympiad team for earning a silver medal. And the students are all wearing their medals that they earned. And so I will call out their names, and they will receive their certificates. March Delgado, Michaela Cabrera, Brandon Macias, Edgar Morelos, Oliver Morales, Mia Coronado Jimenez, Giselle Hernandez, Pedro Nevarez, Patrick Lujan, Melinda Gomez, Sanaya Suarez Hernandez, Iradali Basave, Annabella Cabrera, Isabella Cabrera, and last but not least, Atiana Elias Comparan. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Yes, yes. Yes, they're here. What was that? Yeah, no, nice, huh? Yes. Well, the next group that we're going to recognize is Nogales High School Boys Varsity Basketball Team. Yes. Now, we have the coach and the assistant coach here, and we also have from Nogales High School the two assistant principals, yes, Karen Clifford and Mariela Mascow. Coach Bott, I also want to say congratulations for being San Gabriel Valley Tribune's Coach of the Year. Now for the students. I'm going to go ahead and call out the students' names who are here, but we want to make sure that all students get their certificates, so we're going to pass them over to the coach after we're done with all of them. But the students that are here today are Dale Patak, Michael Romero, Brandon Wynn, Andre Sabal Jr., Matthew Frazier, Brian Aquino, Giovanni Salas, and Joshua Moreno. Not here tonight are Keanu Baloyat, Brandon Caballero, Joseph Flores, and Bershon Levi. Now, I should have mentioned the Nogales varsity basketball team finished with their first 20-win season in nearly a decade. This is the second straight season they have qualified for the CIF Southern Section Playoffs. These young men have shown tremendous growth in both academic and athletic areas, and competing in a Mountain View League, won with an 8-2 record, and continued on to CIF Playoffs with a Section 3 division ranking. Highest ever in a decade. The next group we are going to recognize are the Roland High School Girls Varsity Basketball Team. Now, the Roland High School Girls Varsity Basketball Team won the Vivesta League Championship for the third consecutive year. And this amazing team supported each other on and off the court and overcame several injury setbacks throughout the season. Although they were not favored to win league or make a run to win 15 games, the team rose above to become league champs. Please join me in congratulating the Roland High School Girls Varsity Basketball Team on their outstanding accomplishments. So let's bring on the coach, Quentin Carr, assistant coaches, Jacqueline Gomez, Tracy Calton, and Leonard Nicholson. Also representing Roland High School is the assistant principal, Mike Ward. So again, I'm going to call the students who are here, but later on I'll also recognize the students who are not able to join us, probably studying really hard. So we'll start off with Rachel Capina, Valley Vista League MVP. Faith Castillo, first team All-League. Nicole Wu, second team All-League. Teresa Chang, second team All-League. Kristen Liu, honorable mention. And Chelsea Ragasa. Unable to join us tonight, but should deserve recognition. Kaylin Oh for first team All-League. Isabella Wu for honorable mention. Diana Andrea Cadiz. Vanessa Calve and Tessa Lee. Congratulations again to the Roland High School Girls Varsity Basketball Team. Next, we're going to recognize Nogales High School Boys and Girls Wrestling. The wrestling team was led by Coach Albert Fuentes and assistant coach Franklin Lopez. The top five wrestlers advanced to CIF, with two of whom took first place in league finals, two took second place, and one wrestler took third place. This wrestling season was a great challenge for our Nobles. This young team learned to come together, support one another, and to conquer adversity as a unit more than individuals. Please join me in congratulating the Nogales wrestling team for their accomplishments this season. Ms. Clifford and Ms. Moscow, can you join us as well? No, you're fine. You're fine. Again, to recognize the students who were able to make it, I'm going to start with Alondra Gonzalez Moreno. Carla Vargas and Adam Maldonado. Unfortunately, Alyssa Sanchez Carrillo, Danny Rubio, and David Cervantes were unable to join us, but we congratulate them as well.
Don't
Thank you all. Congratulations. Next, we have the Roland High School Boys and Girls Wrestling Team. The Boys and Girls Wrestling Team was led by Camilo Gonzalez with assistant coaches Richard Aguirre and Ralph Harris. And this year was an outstanding year for Roland High School Wrestling. Both boys and girls wrestlers had amazing seasons. And we have again Mike Ward representing Roland High School. Now, unfortunately, we only have one team member joining us, and this is for our individual girls wrestling. And we have Cheyenne Bowman, CIF champion and state champion. Now, Roland High School student Cheyenne Bowman won the girls wrestling CIF state championship of the 126-pound weight class. Not only is she the second Roland High School athlete to ever win state, she is the first freshman in Roland High School history to ever win a state championship. Cheyenne ended the season with a 34-2 record. She pinned every girl at the state tournament. She also won the CIF Regional Meet, Masters Meet Championship, and was named Most Outstanding Wrestler, Lower Weight Class. Congratulations, Cheyenne. Is it 33-1? Our records are wrong. I don't know. We want to bring up the assistant principals from Nogales again, as we are going to recognize Nogales football CIF. This is for the CIF Southern Section All-Team Award. CIF Southern Section All-Team Award recipients are selected by coaches from other teams in their own division. The staff, students, parents, and community of Nogales High School are proud of the hard work our Nobles put in to receive the following selections for CIF Southern Section Division 13 in football. In recognizing the students who are here, we have Juan Guardado. Juan played offense and defense this year. He was third in points for most plays made. Juan was voted the Montview League Lineman of the Year and earned all CIF honors. Next, we have Francisco Ibarra. Francisco rushed for 1,223 yards, averaging 9.3 yards per carry. He was voted best back by his team and is the only junior voted all CIF from Nogales. Next, we have Isaiah Tennell. Isaiah was the captain of the Noble defense. He was voted as the Defensive Player of the Year by his team and by the Mountain View League. Isaiah had 107 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries, and caused 1 fumble. In addition, Isaiah earned a scholarship to Rocky Mountain College. Whoa. Yay. Unable to join us today was Andrew Carrasco, and he was the most valuable player by the team for the team and earned all CIF honors. Congratulations. I'm going to do one last call. Are there any National Merit Scholarship Program finalists here? No? Well, we definitely wanted to congratulate them, but we'll do that maybe at the school site then. Well, thank you.
Okay, next item is the spotlight report with a quota inventory.
Before you do that, could I ask you to recognize this one?
Oh, I would like to thank Viracota Elementary School students, parents, staff, and the community members for providing refreshments tonight's board meeting. Thank you. Viracota Elementary School Principal Dr. Herrera, instructional coaches Ryan Rexer and Brigitte Rubri, along with third grade students Nayet Hernandez and the fifth grade students Is that Ranosh. We provide a brief report highlighting what is going on at their organization. Okay.
Yeah. So it's on, and for the students, you can move this down if you need to. All right, perfect. You're all set.
Look how dapper you look. Good evening, board members. We brought our fearless team. We have our very spirited Nivia Hernandez. She is a very outspoken member of our student council. We have Isaiah Renault, who's one of our fifth grade START students. And we have, of course, Ryan Rexer and Bridget Uribe, who are an integral part of our team at Viracota.
Good evening, board members. Our classroom looks amazing. We have flexible seating, which means we are able to choose our own style of seating so that we can concentrate and learn better. We have technology in our classroom. Each student has a Chromebook, and we use them every day to help us learn. We share our thinking on Seesaw, do activities in Google Classroom, and use Flipgrid to present our writing to our friends. We also learned an app called Prodigy. It's pretty cool, and it helps our class learn higher grade math, and it helps us keep our classroom fun. Thank you for listening to my presentation.
Good evening, members of the board. We are very proud of the work that we have been doing in our professional learning community, and are looking forward to our continued growth as a staff of Viracota. We have seen a significant cultural shift in the quality of our teamwork, our team's willingness to take risks, and in our school discipline. And the shift in our teamwork has brought about many meaningful conversations in our teams. We have, as coaches, we've been able to get into many classrooms and talk with our teachers and work side by side with them in the work that they do every day. And we've had the opportunity to meet with them every week with every single team. As a team, we analyze student data, develop lessons together, and then co-teach and then debrief the lessons as a team and then decide on next steps to help our students continue to move forward.
Good evening. As a result of our PLCs, our teachers have become more open to taking risks to enhance our student learning through the use of technology. In fact, Viracota has many of the top technology innovators in Rowland Unified. We have also been taking risks by actively seeking out effective instructional practices. We have visited many classrooms and other schools to see these practices in action. As a staff, we have been exploring and implementing all of these practices as a means to accelerate our student growth. In fact, we're now inviting others to come see these practices in action at Viracota. Another cultural shift that is taking place is in the area of discipline. We have taken on the challenge to become a PBIS school, and our motto is Be Viking, to be respectful, be responsible, and to be ready to lead. The celebration of these values includes recognizing individual students and classroom behavior, which eventually culminates in a school-wide celebration. Our recent celebration was a BMX assembly, and the students were so engaged and excited to see the BMX riders doing amazing tricks and talking about what it takes to be successful in life. And now we have Nivea.
Please come to our school and visit. Please come visit our school and have a great time at Via Corda.
You should see how outspoken she is on the student council meetings. So again, just thank you for listening to us. We invite you to come out to Via Corda. I could not be prouder of my team. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone from Via Corda, for providing us so much information. Thank you.
Superintendent report, Dr. Mitchell.
Yes, thank you very much. It's hard to top that one there, huh? I would like to share that the Board of Education and I are very excited to announce that Killian Elementary School was named a 2008 California Distinguished School, which is the state's highest honor for excellence in education. Killian, yeah, you can applaud. That was worth it, yeah. Killian Elementary is one of 287 schools that have made the exceptional gains in implementing academic content and performance standards adopted by the State Board of Education. Killian Elementary was selected for work in the area of small group reading instruction, leading a reader's workshop. The instructional focus of reading includes professional development for teachers, instructional practices in the classroom, student support, and parent and community connections. The school will be recognized in Anaheim on May 3rd. The California Distinguished Schools Program returns after a three-year hiatus and replaces the California Gold Ribbon Schools Program. So congratulations to Killian Elementary. This is Adult Education School Week, and our community was invited to yesterday's open house at Roland Adult and Community Education to view the vast variety of classes offered, including but not limited to English as a Second Language, citizenship classes, GED and high school diploma programs, parent education, foreign language, work skills, and general interest classes, along with a variety of recreational programs for both students, children, kids, adults of all ages and interests. I'd also like to take this opportunity to congratulate our director of the Roland Adult and Community Education, Mr. Rocky Better, who's been named the ACSA, the Association of California School Administrators, State Adult Education Administrator of the Year. Rocky, stand to be recognized. You'll have another moment where we'll bring you up during another recognition, but I thought as many times as I can get you to blush, the better. All right. We have construction at Roland High School continues in full swing. The progress has been very exciting to watch. The new buildings are really taking shape, which you can see as you drive by the campus. Excuse me. In the area of construction and modernization, there continues to be work to be done at Oswald as well as other school campuses. Alex Flores will be meeting with parents at Oswald next week, and the full facilities and maintenance departments look forward to updating the board on all of our projects, current and planned, during the study session on April 26th. I know we have had a number of interested parents and community members regarding when's their school going to be come up for their construction. So as you know, as a board, we've been working with our architects and with project managers and staff on all of those projects that continue to be pending. So we look forward to updating the board on the 26th of April. I also would like to draw attention to the donations on tonight's board agenda. There are a number of very generous donations that have been given to the school district for a variety of different reasons. To name just a few, there was a $2,000 donation from REO Lighting to enhance our after-school programs. First General Bank has made a donation for our principal for a day in the amount of $1,000. $2,000 was for Hurley Elementary School from Primetime Basketball. There were also a number of donors, including David and Terry Malkin for Principal for a Day. Some of these donations go specifically and directly to a program or to a school site or to the district for a specific purpose or for general use. So we very much appreciate the donations and the generosity of our community members and our corporate sponsors and local businesses. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. So next is the student board representative report. First is Nogales High School. Was the Nogales High School here? Oh, yeah, sure. We start with Nogales High School Junior Class President Virginia Garcia and the Junior Class Vice President Alicia Chavoya, and from Nogales High School, please.
Good evening, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, members of the cabinet, and members of the community. I'm getting red. I'm sorry. My name is Virginia Garcia, and today I'm here to be your student representative for Nogales High School. We are currently very busy this month of April. We are now reaching a great peak in this year. First off, our junior class has been dedicating a lot of their time and effort into this year's prom, which will be taking place on Saturday, May 12th at the Reef in Long Beach. On Thursday, April 5th, they held the annual prom fashion show where the students utilized the outdoor multi-purpose room and converted it into a red carpet runway for the show to show off some prom dresses, tuxedos, and as well as invited some local community vendors who were kind enough to lend attire to our students. Prom tickets have gone on sale this week starting at $75 and increased $5 each week. Coming up this Friday, April 13th, we have our winter sports rally where we will be recognizing all of our athletes and coaches for a great season and thanking them for their commitment to our sports. Previously mentioned, we held our first ever night rally, Clash of the Classes, on March 23rd. We had an amazing outcome and hope to continue this ongoing tradition at Nogales High School. The night consisted of our students bringing some heat with class competition, as well as brought together as a large family of nobles. In addition, we had an exciting week of class versus class and student versus staff dodgeball tournaments. We would also like to add the Power 106 game that was held on Thursday, March 22nd. We had a great attendance, and our students were able to interact with a few celebrities. So thank you to the staff and students who made these incredible events happen. Our clubs at school have remained busy at work by fundraising, yearbook photos, and holding more club meetings. The Poetry Club brought Blitz to Nogales High School. Blitz was performed by the Get Lit Players. The Get Lit Players are an award-winning youth poetry troupe and the most watched poets in the internet. They collaborated with the United Nations, John Legend, the White House, and more, inspiring their peers to engage in their education and their lives. It was an exciting event for the nobles to be a part of. The UNICEF Club had a week-long lunchtime activity, and the Astronomy Club held an observation night where the nobles were exploring the moon. The students at Nogales High School are excited for next year and have already begun registering for their electives and rigorous courses. Our spring sports season is well underway, and we can't wait to hear about our badminton, track and field, softball, and baseball team. This year at Nogales High School, we have enforced the PBIS reward system. These points are only accumulated by students' worth ethic, showing integrity, volunteering, and so on. We are able to check our points on the PBIS Awards app, where the staff have uploaded noble merchandise that can only be redeemed by points and not bought. I would say this system has greatly impacted and encouraged our fellow nobles to be more determined and positive in the everyday life on campus. I am looking forward to all the upcoming future events going on our campus. For more information about our school, anyone can go online to nobletimes.news. Here you'll find more stories on school sports, entertainment, world news, and school events. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Junior. The next is Nicholas Phillips, ASB Speaker of the House from John Rowland High School.
will provide his report.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Nicholas Phillips, and I'm the student representative for Roland High School. And speaking about the student representatives, Roland has conducted their ASB elections for next year, and some of the candidates are now our successors. Tonight, my successor, Emily Birch, she is here to observe how to do this job to the best of her ability. Our school has also had one of our school dances this past month on March 16th. The theme was Hula Hawkins, and everyone wore Hawaiian attire, and it was just an absolutely amazing dance. On the following Friday, March 23rd, it was our Battle of the Classes. Here, about 1,000 of our students went to the gym to cheer on their graduating classes in a friendly competition. Seniors, of course, won, but we did have the most people and the most wins in the events. Juniors got second, sophomores got third, and freshmen got fourth. Overall, the event was very successful and super exciting and energetic. That following week was spring break and gave students and teachers a nice break to recollect themselves and prepare them for the end of the school year and for seniors' graduation. At the beginning of this month, on April 3rd, we had our annual prom fashion show in which I had the honor of participating in. All of the models looked stunning, and everyone who watched was in awe. Friday, April 6th, our comedy sports held their annual teacher match. At this comical performance, our teachers competed against the students in hopes to get more laughter from the audience. On April 7th, some of our leadership students, including myself as well, attended CASEL, which is the California Association of Student Leaders, where leaders from across the state come together to learn new ideas and build lasting relationships. At this conference, our leadership program received the Outstanding Leadership Program Award, which is a very noble and prestigious award. It lasted from April 7th through April 9th. And then on these past 2 days, on April 10th and 11th, our Roland Dance Club, RDC for short, had their two-hour performance. All the dances were choreographed by the students and was absolutely amazing. I went to the first night and thought it was so good that I went to the last night as well. Tomorrow we will be having our spring sports rally to acknowledge the spring sports, which are track, swim, baseball, boys tennis, boys golf, and softball. There will be a cute game with the captains of each sport, and each captain will be given the opportunity to publicize for their game/meets. Tomorrow is also our Best Buddies prom, where the students with special needs get their own prom. I know from firsthand experience how much the students love this event because it makes all of our special needs students very happy. On April 16th, we have our annual senior event called MYOS, and this stands for Make Your Own Sunday. And on this event, each senior is able to make their own sundae with a banana and ice cream that is all provided. On next Saturday, which is on the April 21st, we have our junior senior prom. It will be held at the Majestic downtown in LA, and I'm super excited for it. Then we will have Performing Arts Rally on May 1st and 2nd. This rally is by far my favorite because our band, choir, color guard, drumline, and any other performing arts show off their hard work and dedication to the school. Our choir will be hosting their annual pop show called Legends of the Past and Present, which will be on May 3rd and 4th at 7 p.m. at the Pathfinder Community Center. We formally invite all of you to attend. And you can notify Mr. Harris, our choir teacher, if you have any questions. He will personally try to give you the best seats in the house. And since spring break, all of our 11th grade students have been taking the SBAC test. And during the weeks of the 7th through the 11th on May, and May 14th and May 18th, we have our AP and IB tests, which students can get college credit for some of the high school classes they are taking. So in all, Roland is constantly embodying being thinkers, communicators, and contributors. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicholas. The next is Greg Garcia, ASB Senior President at Santana High School.
Is Craig here? No? All right. Okay. All right. So next item is written request addressed to the board. Dr. Mitchell, is there any request?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'll read this. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended further or limited by votes of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentation and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to the staff following a presentation. All right, the first one, Mr. Roy Humphreys.
Hello, and I'd like to congratulate the superintendent on her Woman of the Year Award. But it comes to the point, is this the same CEO, PhD, that did not do a forensic audit upon arrival to a historically troubled district with receiving scathing reports in the 2008 FACMAC report, which she was only new because of Roy Humphreys? The same woman failed to bring online a state-of-the-art integrated administrative computer system, including Bond's instructions for the same report. This is the same woman that continues to hijack the Bond Oversight Committee. Retired Chairman Harry Peterson notes a grand jury is in order, and appointed Denise Jackman, who is an embarrassment to one and all, as per her own hand and writing. The same woman, in conjunction with board members Angelina Pry, refused to do as directed by the board regarding the video recording district public meetings. As a same woman and board who refused to advertise the video recordings of the RUSD board meeting, the Bond Oversight Committee and Personnel Committee, as can be seen on Roy Humphrey's YouTube channel, are the stakeholders that unworthy? The same woman, PhD, who stated that the construction audit world's 10% rule does not apply to Roland Unified School District for construction on bonds. The same woman fears having public meetings video recorded a la the crying woman of Oswald. The same woman has a primordial fear of transparency. The same woman led her staff on an ambush of the Personnel Commission. You can see it on video, by the way. And Judy Nye's bogus $2,500 ED seminar, the $20,000 Nogales Macy's ripoff payout, as noted by Roy Humphreys. The same woman fails to understand and ignores the 2008 FACMAC report and scolds our chairman up here, Mr. Chun, in that fails to understand that our past dictates our present and future. And what does that say about past Superintendent Maria Ott as and conduct as and competency of those like Judy Nye, Albert Chang, Gilbert Garcia, Robert Hidalgo, and Heidi Gallegos? As to say, nobody wants to talk about the fructose saga. It is there's some delusion that this is a 21st century district. Doesn't character count? And the fact that you refuse to share, well, like what happened tonight, except for, and refuse to advertise that you can see all these board meetings on my YouTube channel, just type in my name, and to refusing to share what happened tonight with the kids and so forth, with everybody in the district to have that opportunity. Thank you.
Dr. Mitchell, is there a uniform complaint form that we could provide for Mr. Humphreys?
Absolutely. Our district has a uniform and a general complaint form if Mr. Humphreys would like to have one.
Next is Hazel D'Alimenta.
But good evening, board members, chairpersons, everyone here. Thank you. We're excited to hear the presentation that's going to be happening on the 26th of April, as well as the presentation that's going to be happening at the school at Oswalt next Thursday at 9 a.m. at 3 p.m. We wanted even after meeting with Mr. Alex, I can't remember your last name, I had to listen to my parents. I started this, so I had to do what my parents, along with me, wanted me to come say. We blindly trusted the bond that was first issued in 2006, and that is their concern. We came to the board, we voted, and that's where our fear is, because we voted. We voted on schematics, we voted on a building, and then we got pushed behind and kept getting pushed behind and kept getting pushed. Okay, I promised I wouldn't cry because I don't want to be your crying lady. Okay, but anyways, I know, sorry. Okay, but anyway, okay, yes, thank you. Okay. We ended up with a single-story building with no bathrooms. That's modernization. A single-story building with no bathrooms for 250 middle school students. So where's the safety for our students? There's no cameras in the hallways. There's, another parent was supposed to talk about that. I don't know if she got on the agenda. And then in 2012, you asked us to vote and asked for voters to support another bond. We were excited because Oswalt was supposed to be a priority. So we did that. We went on the phone banks, we made phone calls, we passed out flyers, and we helped you guys get it on board. And the reason why we're here now is because in April, in the agenda that was given to the board in April of 2016, we were supposed to start moving classrooms and moving teachers and whatnot, but that hasn't happened. So our fear, again, is that we're getting pushed back. If we're not moving forward, where are we going, and how many years are we going to get pushed back again? So I have that copy if you guys want it, but it was hard to get copies because the PDFs disappeared from the website. But anyways, and then I was impressed in February of 2015 when you came on board, and she called for a special community meeting to get our feedback from the committee, and of course I came there again, and I was really impressed that you listened to what we had to say, and you didn't kick... My fear was you're going to kick Oswalt off the board, and you didn't, and you kept Roland there as well, because my son goes to Roland as well, and moving forward with the building. I'm glad that ground has broken at Roland, but nothing has happened at Oswalt. And our fear is that money's going to run out. And if money runs out, what are we going to get? I want to end up with another crappy building. I believe in Alex. I know he has a vision, and I can't wait to see it. But the parents, as the first email that I got when I put out the email for next week's meeting was, I want my voice recorded. So I'm recording our voices for the parents. And we don't want a repeat of what happened with the first bond. We as Oswalt parents...
Sorry, time.
Can I speak for a minute?
Time's up.
Can we?
We'll tell you what that is. So call for the next person.
Yep.
And so she'll come to the mic.
That's what Mary do.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mary Dew. I'm a parent at Oswalt, and I'm also on the PTSA board, and I would like to turn my meeting minutes over to Hazel.
Okay.
Okay. We just don't want a repeat of what happened with the first one. And Oswalt families do want to feel like we're a valuable part, because for the longest time we felt like the orphan school, because you guys just bought us from Walnut. So if you don't want us, you can sell us back. I'm sure they'll bill us right away. But in all honesty, Oswalt gives a lot to this district and gives a lot to this school. But we need to start seeing it. We're not a Title I school. We don't get extra cash. The parents work hard. And quite frankly, I'm exhausted, to be honest with you, because I have a junior in high school, but I have two little ones. But I'm tired. So we need your help. You guys wouldn't even help us pay for the marquee. It took me 2 years of fundraising, not me, but our PTA, 2 years of fundraising just to build a marquee because we couldn't get support. But other schools get it, and it kind of feels a little bit unfair. I don't know if other schools get it, but it just feels a little unfair that we didn't get even a little bit of money to help build a marquee, just to say that we weren't an elementary school anymore, that we were an Oswalt Academy. We never even had that verbiage for how many years, you know? So... if you're proud of us, then show it. And show it in what we're giving our kids and how we're moving forward, not years. My kids, I have one in first grade, one coming in kindergarten next year. I want them to be able to see the buildings. I had friends who worked with the first bond
their kids never got to see the new building, and that's very disappointing. And so we're placing our trust in this board and all of you, that you guys will do what's right and stand beside Oswald and finally make us feel proud that you're proud of our school, our academic achievements, our everything that we provide for the school, you know, especially the parents who are tired of volunteering countless of hours and giving countless donations. They think we're rich, but we're rich because of the hard work of the parents. We do the field trips because of the hard work of the parents. The district does not give us any money for that at all. I wish you guys did. It would be a lot easier. But it's a lot of hard work from the parents. And then I do have one more letter that a parent wanted to come today. She's a new parent. Can I read that? Okay. Okay. I'm a new resident of Walnut with a school-aged child and a preschooler. We decided to move to Walnut because of the schools. Our son currently attends Oswald. I'm disappointed to hear the future construction plans have been delayed. We were active participants who enjoyed meeting with early planners to discuss the proposed changes to the school site. Our students deserve to have a school at full capacity. If the schedule is delayed, neither of our children would be able to attend an updated school. We do not support delaying the renovation plans for Stanley Oswald Academy. Thank you, Katie and Russ Schultz. But that's it. So thank you.
Next speaker is Eugenia Reyes.
Good evening, school board members, superintendent, present in the audience here. I am also a parent as well. The only difference between me and Hazel is that I'm burned. I got burned because I have been complaining too much without being listened. I applaud her because so many years, I mean, this is a decade of talking about us, you know. My first kid already graduated from high school. Didn't see it in Oswald, didn't see it at Roland, didn't see it in Nogales. My second one is, I had a big delay, so... my second one is coming out of Oswald. And unfortunately, I was very disappointed when I was so excited to go and see the new building. I said, okay, so it's finally it's going to be in some new buildings, right? And it was built terrible. Air conditioning not working. There was a smell of smoke in the classroom because electricity problems. And I guess it was addressed probably after a few months being in place. But our light bulbs, I think, are still under the code that they don't have any protection. The bathroom is an issue. I mean, there is a lockdown, which is happening right now, right? Kids won't have nowhere to go. So what are security cameras, I believe, in the hallways? There is nothing there to protect what happened, what the story about. So I don't know. What does it take to really... keep forwarding. I heard that it's going to be a meeting to see what we would like to do. I mean, this is too late already. I know plans were approved. I believe the same architect that was 10 years ago is still the same one, so I have my doubts on that. I don't know who's the project manager. Maybe what is the superintendent prior to you that has a chaos in the school Roland? Maybe something is still really under the ground that is no letting things go move through. So that's all for me. Okay. Thank you.
John Hunter.
All right, good evening. I'll be very brief. I just want to thank all of you for taking the time and showing the leadership to put a deputy sheriff on Nogales and Roland's campus. I think it shows a huge commitment to safety of our students. I'm personally vested because my wife's a teacher at Roland High School and my son's a student there. So I just hope it continues, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move to discussion action item of agenda, and the first item is 7A. This is for the discussion only on IQ Academy, California, Los Angeles. Charter, yes, sure.
We need to do a public hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. And I missed the number six. Okay, next is the public hearing. The purpose of the public hearing is to provide members of the public opportunity to be aware of the comments on the petition received. Number 6A is IQ Academy's petition to Roland Unified School District is for renewal of their charter for a 5-year term between 2018 to 2023. The public hearing opened at 7:07.
So at this time, the community is welcome to approach the podium if you would like to make a comment on the request for the renewal of the IQ Academy charter petition that would be from 2018 to 2023. The public hearing is open.
Good evening, board members. My name is Redora Wong. And my kids have been with IQ Academy for about nearly 7 years. They truly enjoy it, and they've learned so much. We find it probably more challenging, but I appreciate the fact that it does challenge them, that they actually will learn. We like the fact that the administrative staff and the teachers are also, they're very helpful, they're informative, they're also easy to reach. I don't have to wait days, I don't have to schedule an appointment. I can just pick up the phone and call them or send them an email. And they have such a wide variety of academic courses as well as electives. And one of the main reasons, too, why we also picked online school is I have a special needs student. And when he started kindergarten, it was fairly easy for him. But when he started struggling first, second, and third grade, I realized, okay, I have to do something, because I was spending 3 hours every morning with him in class, and we teachers and I could not get him to do anything. And so I realized, okay, this has to be more of a one-on-one type instruction, but I realized I couldn't do homeschool because I'm not qualified to do that, and I probably don't have the patience to do that either. And one of my older children suggested online school. So I said, okay, well, let me look into it. And so I did a search and found IQ Academy, Los Angeles. So we enrolled, and they provided special education classes for my special needs student. He also has speech class. And the one thing I like about it, too, is it gave him confidence. He started learning. He had the one-on-one instruction, and he became more open. He was more happy. And so I truly appreciate that. It's just wonders what it has done for him and his confidence. And so I have 3 more students left in school. One of them actually graduated 2 years ago. And so I highly recommend, you know, the renewal of IQ Academy Los Angeles, because it's my family and I really enjoy it. And that's the reason why we keep coming back. Thank you.
Any more speakers? That hearing closed at 7:10. Now next item, we move to the discussion and action items of agenda. The first one is 7A. This is for discussion only on IQ Academy, California, Los Angeles Charter Renewal Petition. There's no motion on this item at this time. Dr. Mitchell.
Thank you very much. So for the board, again, this is not an action item. This is a discussion item only to allow the board to engage in asking questions and seeking any clarification they have regarding the renewal petition. So this evening we have Kathy Andrews and Katrina Abston that are here from the IQ Academy, and they have prepared a brief presentation that they'd like to share with you to give you some background, and then they will, and I will, as well as other staff if needed, will answer any questions that you have regarding the petition. Go ahead. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having us, President Chen, Dr. Mitchell. My name is Katrina Abston, and I've had the pleasure of working in various roles since we partnered with you guys 8 years ago. And so it's been exciting to see our growth and things like that. And I, before I introduce Kathy, who's amazing, I just wanted to say thank you for your continued support. Over the last couple of years, we have had, you may be aware, I think Lynn's aware and David's probably aware, a complete administrative shift over in the school. With that, we have now seen our satisfaction scores go up, which Kathy's going to, I don't want to steal all her thunder, but all of her amazing work. We've seen the staff happier. We've reached our first CBA with the IQLA union, which is really exciting. The enrollment has grown, and just across the board, we've seen positive gains. So just thank you so much for your support and trusting us over these past couple of years, because it's been a little bit rocky for some time there. So again, thank you. And I want to introduce Kathy Andrew, who is the amazing head of school for IQLA.
Thank you, Katrina. If you want to click, that'll be great, because I'll forget to click. I'll just keep talking. Hi, good afternoon, or good evening. Oh my goodness, I'm nervous. Good evening, board. Good evening, community. Thank you so much for having us here. I do have a brief presentation prepared regarding our school, and I'll try to make sure that I'm very mindful of your time here. As Katrina mentioned, we've had an eventful couple of years. I joined the school mid-September last year, and I just wanted to give you a context for last year. Before I joined in August, we had a complete administrative resignation with the exception of one person. Operations team, guidance counselor, high school administrative director all left the school. At the same time, we had a new middle school curriculum. In addition to that, a new middle school platform, which is the delivery mechanism that we give the courses to the students. So everything at middle school is completely different. We also had a new email system, which that's great. It works really well. But that's another thing that all of the administrators, all of the teachers, all of the students had to get used to very quickly at the beginning of that school year. We had a new instructional framework, which had not really been presented to the teachers before they came back to school in August. So there's a lot going on. We started the Family Academic Support Team, which is a positive thing, but again, it's another change that the staff had to deal with. So by late September, what's the result of all of this? We have a new head of school. We also have a new high school administrator, and we're informed that the teachers have formed a union. So all of this happened very quickly. Following that, the first week of October, we had our WASC visit, and we did get a six-year authorization from WASC. So. IQ Academy does meet minimum requirements for renewal based on being comparable to the other schools that students who attend our school would attend otherwise. And in your charter petition, I have an expanded version of this. I condensed it down for the PowerPoint. We have schools that our students would otherwise attend. We have some charter schools at the top and then some districts. From Roland District, we have five students now. There are four listed in your charter. We added one right at the beginning of March. So we take five students from Roland. The majority of our students come from Los Angeles County. Success and opportunities. You've seen our dashboard. You know what the data looks like, but I want to call out a few things here. Our graduation rate, we had 2 years of increases in our graduation rate. Last year was a 16.2% increase. So while our dashboard is red, we are moving in the correct direction, and we're moving significantly in the correct direction. We also saw gains in some of our subgroups, our Hispanic students, our students with disabilities, students of two or more races, 0% suspension rate. Our SBAC participation last year, we saw a 10% increase in participation across our grade levels, with some grade levels testing 30% more students than they had in prior years. So that's a significant gain, and I'll give all the credit to my administrative team and my staff on that one. And then we did see some gains at grade levels, 3rd, 6th, 7th math, 8th ELA, and then our 11th grade English language arts assessment results have exceeded the state proficiency rating for 2 years in a row. What are our opportunities? Math. Math is a huge growth opportunity for us. This is definitely a focus in the coming years. In addition to that, chronic absenteeism. Our absenteeism rate is very high, and we need to get that into control. And then, again, even though our graduation rate is moving in the correct direction, we have a lot of work to do there to get our kids across the finish line. Next slide. Okay, so let's address those opportunities. Let's see what we've put into place and what we plan to put into place. I see this in two buckets, essentially. I see increasing student achievement, which is improving the amount of live instruction our teachers are providing. Our teachers are providing 15 hours of instruction per week, up from 3 2 years ago, to meet those student needs. That instruction is targeted. It is standards focused. We're trying to make sure that if students are attending a live session in a virtual school, it is valuable to them. It is meeting their needs. In order to do that, we have put into place a new assessment and monitoring system. We've had a diagnostic and a growth assessment for a long time, but we added interims in the middle of that so that we can see how are our students progressing towards those targets, and we can then take that information, use it to drive instruction in these live sessions. We added an intervention program. This was new for IQ Academy last year, and those are dedicated intervention specialists working with students in the areas of ELA and math at all grade levels. In-person and virtual professional development, our 4-5 teachers decided to go to a standards-based report card. They had been assessing based on progress before that. This is allowing them, again, to target those needs and make sure we're hitting that instruction. At the high school level, we added wet labs so that we meet A through G requirements. We also reviewed our elective offerings, made sure that we were offering electives that are A to G approved. At this point in time, a student can go to our high school and graduate, able to get into UC and CSU with no questions. They are A to G ready. We added algebra credit recovery course. Again, that math. We've got to improve our math. And at this point, we have applied to the state for our work experience elective. We're waiting to see if we're going to get approval on that. And then we hired a special education administrator and 2 special education teachers who are dedicated to our IQ students. The other bucket is engagement and culture. I think that, you know, you can see with all of the challenges that I put up there that this was a huge area of need for us. So we want to create connections to the school community. I want my virtual school to feel as much like a brick and mortar. You know that sense you get when you walk in the doors and there's colors on the walls and there's a mascot and you know where you are. We want to do that virtually. So we have virtual pep rallies. We have virtual assemblies. We have student recognition programs. We recognize those students with certificates, postcards, emails, birthday cards, and then we announce that in the assembly so everybody can get excited about it. And we do that online. We have outings. We've started doing a digital newsletter, and not just to recognize our students. And it isn't just about achievement. We're recognizing effort because effort creates achievement. We also have instituted teacher recognition programs. We're recognizing the teachers of the year. We're recognizing teachers who are doing amazing things in their classes, and we're using them as experts in our PLCs and our PDs. We have begun to use 7 mindsets as our social-emotional learning curriculum, and we'll be doing more on that as we go through the years. Family Academic Support Team, which was new, we expanded that team this year. We doubled the amount of family academic support liaisons, and those are classified staff. Their sole job is to get kids engaged. If someone is not attending class, if someone is looking like they're starting to drift, it's the family academic support team's job to grab them and reel them back in with a plan, and they develop that plan with the teacher. So it's kind of a whole child model there. Oh, instructional coaches, yes. That was another thing that I skipped on the other slide. All English and math teachers have a one-on-one instructional coach working with them. They meet with them monthly, and they are observed monthly. So they're observed by the administrators, but they're also observed by the instructional coaches. They're it's not a direct report structure or anything like that. It's solely so that they can improve instruction. And I just got some results back, and we're seeing 1 to 2, on a scale of 1 to 5, we're seeing a 1.5 to a 2 gain in our teachers year over year. So this program is working. What I am most proud of right now is how we have improved our satisfaction scores. This tells you that what we're doing is working. We have had year over year, survey over survey gains. And if you'll look at survey 3 there in the middle, the way we do this is it's a pulse check that's sent out 7 times in the year, really quick. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What do you need? And then we get those results. There's open-ended feedback, too, that we follow up on. But if you look at survey 3, look at last year. You saw this kind of decline. Survey 3 is sent to parents right when the magic of school is worn off. You're in it. You're starting to get a little bit overwhelmed, maybe. And so we expect that that's not going to be the best one. But look at how good that one is compared to the other ones there. So that is a very proud moment for all of my staff. We also increased our teacher satisfaction rates. And this is a program that a lot of schools in the country use. And of all of those schools that use this, we're a top five school consistently for satisfaction rates. Finally, the dry stuff, the financial stuff. We have clean audits. We have received 100% of our funding determinations, and we're always in compliance with SB 740. And we are also very good at balancing our budget. Our revenue right now estimated at $5,348,000, and then our estimated instructional expenditures there, you'll see it under $5 million. And our estimated ADA is $531,000, which is up significantly from last year. Right now, I didn't put this on a slide. Right now, we have 601 students. Last year, I believe we had 470. So thank you so much for your time. That's it.
Thank you. Any questions? Lynn, any questions?
And your absentee rate of 32.6, have you done any evaluations or analysis as to what's causing that? And can students make up, do they have the ability to make up that class they lost?
Attendance in an independent study charter school is quite a complicated matter. The way that we claim attendance is you must engage on a daily basis on all school days, and at the end of the learning period, you must have produced work product on those school days. So in order to claim the attendance, that work had to be completed in that time period. So no, they're not able to make that up. Do you want to address it?
Yeah. So unlike at a traditional program where if a student attends every day, regardless if they have a big zero, and we get perfect attendance for them, we get claimed nothing. So we have students who are attending every day, but they're not producing adequate work samples, and so we get zero attendance for them. Mm-hmm. So there are the FAST team that Kathy had mentioned. Their whole focus is family academic support, and so they are reaching those kids and we lovingly say stalking them to make sure that we can get them engaged
loving
up to,
persistence.
Yes, loving persistence, knocking on their door saying, please, 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 please do this.
Just a comment. I think it was 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I was the board representative to listen to in on your board meetings. And it looks like you guys have come a long way and you've really worked hard to pull things together. I know it took me a little while to get up to speed to see what was going on. And I was always concerned whether the board was having the training they needed to be good board members, because you have the same requirements that we do.
Yes. Thank you for noticing that. We did have, there were a couple legacy board members that were there. They were actually founding board members who were extremely resistant to following the Brown Act. And we helped them move along. And we have new board members that have stepped in. We have two of the original board members, or one original, Julie is still with us, and then one of the other board members who have been here quite some time. And we've brought the school's attorneys in to actually do more board training with them to make sure. And Kathy, I've actually kind of handed, I think this last thing, I've handed over the reins completely. She's got it down to a science. But it was about a year or so of really holding on to the meetings and saying, nope, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. And it's rough. You don't want to have to do that. You want your board chair to be able to do that appropriately. So now it is happening. So thank you again for that. It's been a lot of work.
And it's a pleasure to see that you're working so hard for the benefit of the students. So thank you.
Make a comment, too.
Donna?
Just a comment. Thank you for a presentation. I enjoyed your parent that came up. I mean, to me, that's the best test of all, to let us know that you guys are doing a great job, because that's wonderful that your children are doing such a good job. So thank you for sharing your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Anyone? Yeah, I attend your board meeting several times. I'm glad to see you in person.
Yes.
And according to my experience in the board meeting, they're very organized and formatted and follow the guideline, follow the rules very well. So, but I never had any opportunity to see what your class how do you teach on the online on the teach. So I did see if there is a opportunity I can visit or I can experience how your students how to learn. I have a question about the curriculum and for high school biology and chemistry, and if the class involve a lab, how do we
We actually have a facility where the students actually have to come to meet the
H. So they do the lab. And how about PE?
That's the funny thing with virtual education. Mm-hmm. PE is still under, they have to keep a log of their minutes, and there's activities. There's a PE course that teaches kind of fundamentals in health, and then it's the parents and the students are instructed that they have to keep a log of their physical activity, and it ranges from everything from skateboarding to working out the gym. There are a lot of professional athletes, or not professional, but aspiring professional athletes, so they are like travel teams and things, so they're able to log those things. And then the comment about the classrooms, Kathy can provide you a link of the schedule, and there's classrooms going on all day, Monday through Friday, and you as a our authorizer are welcome to attend them. And it's just the first time you do it, it's going to take probably 10 minutes to upload onto your computer. But then after that, it's about a minute to get inside of it.
Okay. So you do a test or quiz. The students do it at home?
Yes.
Yes. How are you to be sure they're not cheating?
Yeah, just like the life of teenagers. Trust. There are a lot of different things. There are time things in there. There are things that are built into our platform through the K-12 system that actually will, if you pause, then it can time you out. We've actually tested various things to webcam testing to see so we can watch. There's somebody that's watching them. That's a little intrusive for some of our parents, so didn't go with that one. All of their papers are put in. I think they're still
turnitin.com.
So that catches that. There are Google Answers has our textbooks, like everyone's textbooks out there. If there's any verbatim responses that have been logged, because anytime we know of something like that, there's a team of people at K-12, the curriculum company, that's actually searching those things. And so if Kathy were, I'll use Chloe, her daughter, if Chloe were to copy and paste one of those responses, it's going to knock it on the test, and we're going to know that, okay, they're being untruthful. But there, with all teenagers, sadly, there's going to be a level of dishonesty.
And we do have an academic integrity policy. So we do have steps and progressive steps that go through that so that we can, you know, teach you about plagiarism and then, you know, go through that and make sure that we kind of hit our point home.
Have you ever caught any kids cheating?
Not in IQ, I don't think.
No, as a teacher, yes, but not at IQ.
Kathy worked for many, many, many years with me at one of the other schools, the virtual schools, and we've caught lots of them, sadly. And it's interesting the stories that they come up with, and, you know, they're not cheating. And we're like, here are the answers. We know what you did. So it is. It's unfortunate. It is. It happens. Fortunately, not as much. Our students in general have a lot of integrity, so.
So your graduation rate increased 16%. That's good. But from what percentage to what percentage?
It was, with the 16.2%, 54.
Okay, I want to qualify this. Okay.
It's red.
So the way the graduation rate is figured, we get a lot of students. So our senior class or our freshman class could be 30 kids. Mm-hmm. And by the time we get to our seniors, we could have 70 kids in our senior class. And it's going to completely throw off our cohorts because these 30 may not even be with us any longer. They're somewhere else. And so trying to actually do that. So it doesn't, not that it's not an excuse. It's still a low rate. But our actual seniors that we track, if we tracked like Rodora's child and the ones that started with us their freshman year, our rates are much closer to the 80th percentile. But the fact that we have so many incoming and outgoing kids, our cohorts are really kind of wonky. Nice technical term.
It's the same criteria that we have.
Right.
It is.
Okay.
It's the same as what a brick and mortar has, too.
It is.
Okay.
Well, if a student is attending, say, Nogales High School, and they're short one of their A through G requirements, they can continue to attend Nogales and take that one specific class at IQ, can't they?
They cannot.
They cannot. So they have to be enrolled in one or the other?
Yeah, there's dual enrollment. It's not allowed in California. In summer school, they could, but not traditional.
So in summer school, they could?
Yes.
So they can make up units then?
Correct.
But then would that count? That wouldn't count towards your graduation rate?
No.
That would count to the home schools or the district of residence schools.
So you're accepting kids from LA County only?
No.
No.
We're LA County, and then all of the counties. Oh, no, so we have five counties that we draw from. Mm-hmm. Most LA, of the San kids Bernardino. Do come Ventura, Kern, Mar- Orange.
Kern, yeah. And San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm. Most of the kids do come from LA Unified, but I was doing the data, and it's, you know, a lot of schools, very few students from the schools. And then from your district, we have five students right now.
Mm-hmm. So some kids, maybe they locate far away from
Oh, where definitely, it, yes.
So back to my question about the lab, and how often do they come to the lab, or how are they going to meet?
It depends. Go ahead.
It's once a week. And it's 18 hours of labs that mm-hmm. they complete in order to meet the requirement. So we have a schedule laid out of six different weekly sessions, and we start them a little bit later in the year to allow the teacher time to make sure that she's setting those expectations, make sure that the materials are in the lab, and then it wraps up before the end of the year.
Where is your lab located?
Simi Valley.
Simi Valley, okay. Okay.
I think I read in one report before the meeting that you recently opened a wet lab in order to meet the requirements?
That's the one.
Is that the one in Simi Valley?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you ever want to make a trip to Simi Valley, and that's where our offices are as well, you can check out the lab and check out the offices.
Now, don't you offer credit recovery for our students?
We do.
For Roland, if the students need it?
Correct.
But it's not considered a dual enrollment?
Correct. Nope.
Would they have to do that during the summer?
Nope.
Okay.
To answer, the licenses are provided to the Roland Unified School District from the IQ Academy, and our students are able to use them for credit recovery and or if we needed for when we use our independent study program as well. So it's not dual enrollment. They're 100% enrolled in our district, but part of our agreement is those licenses are provided by the IQ Academy.
Any more questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So item 7B, I need a motion and a second. Approve annual required declaration of leads. Need a motion? 7B.
I make a motion.
Thank you. Angelina Pry, and who
second?
Donna, second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. 7C, need a motion and a second. Receive AB 1200 and AB 2756 from Los Angeles County Office of Education in relation to the tentative agreements between Roland Unified School District and the CSEA Chapter 133 and other non-bargaining unit groups for fiscal year 2017-2018 and 2018-2019. Need a motion?
I move.
Second.
Lead move? Right. Angelina, second. Discussion? No discussion? Favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7D. I need a motion and a second to approve the tentative agreement between Roland Unified School District and the CSEA Chapter 133 for the year 2017-2018 school year.
I'll move.
Second. Donna, move. Angelina Pride, second. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 7E, we have a motion and a second to approve a 2% increase to the 2016-2017 salary schedule for all district management, confidential supervisory, and contract adult school employees effective July 1st, 2017, and a one-time payment of 2% based on 2017-2018 salary schedule paid to employees for those specified unrepresented groups in paid status on January 14, 2019. Mm-hmm. Engineer Price and Donna, you make a second? Okay. And discussion? On favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 7F, and in motion and the second approved increase in the Board of Education monthly stipend for $20 per month or 4.099% effective May 1st, 2018. I need a motion.
I move.
Lee move. Who second? Anyone second? I second. Discussion?
I'll discuss it. As it was shown to me, there have been no stipend increases since 2007. And as a board member, I don't expect to get wealthy over my hours, but I spend an awful lot of hours preparing for the board meeting and doing other things. Now, if there may be some board members who really need that little bit of stipend, that they depend on it, and I don't think we can say for future board members that maybe they will need it. So I think it's wise. I think most people appreciate the work we're doing. We're responsible for a lot of money. And I think you want people who will do a good job. If we choose to turn the money over and donate it back to the district, that's our choice. But we are allowed to do that if it's there.
More discussion?
I came in tonight prepared to vote no on this. And then I was having a conversation with a parent about it. And they said that they saw this on the agenda. And that $20, they said, you drive a pretty big car. How much do you pay in gas for the events that you go to? And I said, well, I don't know. I never really thought about it. And they're like, consider it gas money. And I was prepared to vote no, but after having a dialogue with the parent about it and everything, and listening to what Lynn just said about future board members who will follow behind us, I think that it's a minimal amount.
I would agree with what you both are saying, that for me, I spend a lot more than this when I go to events. Last night I spent $15 just to go to an event. Yes, you owe me $5 for that. But and I do pay for all the events I go to. I don't go in for free. But what I'm concerned about is that in the future that everybody should have the opportunity to run for school board, and the cost of traveling and the attending events should not limit the people who want to run for school board. And if this makes a difference, like Ms. Ebbenkamp said, of a difference of somebody running for school board or not running for school board, I would support it for their sake, that they would be compensated so it would not be money out of their home income and that they would be able to run for school board.
Anna.
I also was ready to vote no, and this is a very hard one for me. It's like we're giving ourselves a raise. I was told that, well, gas alone, you know, I drive like thousands of miles a year to different events. But now that you bring up, you know, for future, and when I was talking to David about it, he said the taxes, it's going to go right to taxes anyway, so you're not going to see it. But it's just, this is a very difficult one to think about in so many different ways, that's all.
Yeah, I just wait 2 minutes to second it. Yeah. Yeah, people shy to discuss the money, especially money give it to ourselves.
I have a
pretty good confidence that we're doing good, our board. And this $20 is not a big money. But I feel that's appreciation from the community to thank us. But if I reject it, it's not polite. So.
Well,
so I would accept it. I would vote yes. And regardless, if in the community someone says you are not deserve the $20 increase, then I will discuss with you.
Can I just say one other thing? I know when you hear these politicians, voting their own salary increases. I've always had my mixed feelings, too, but they're not voting $20. They're voting thousands of dollars for themselves, and I think our work is worth it.
I want to add what Lynn said, because you're allowed to talk to one board member. So I called Dave and I go, what are we going to do? I can't give ourselves a raise. This is terrible. What about our congressmen, senators? How they? And he's like, it's $20. It's not like, you know, a million. And then Dr. Mitchell said, well, it would help with gas money, too. So, okay. Yeah, I'm glad you said that.
I drive big car, too. I drive two big men. So, yeah. All right. Okay, so... close the discussion, and all favor say aye.
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 5-0, motion carry. The next item, 7F, I need, what? G. Oh, the one, oh, G, 7G. I need a motion and a second to reappoint Nat Ornelas to CBOC for a 2-year term in compliance with the CBOC bylaw. Need motion?
I'll move.
Anna move. Angelina Price second. Discussion?
I'd like to say something. There's been a lot of criticism about our CBOC, and as we now vote to give Mr. Ornelas an extension on his term, I just want to say that I know Mr. Ornelas personally, have known him for many, many years, because he has, if I'm not mistaken, it's 6 kids in the district. I think 1 or 2 have graduated, but there's still 4 of them. And he's always, him and his wife have always volunteered in our district. Very involved parents. They are very passionate about our district and really care about our district and about what's going on in our district. Even when they didn't have a child at the high school, they didn't stop volunteering because they knew they would have one coming within a year or so. So I'm really happy to have people like him on the CBOC who have children in the district and who really are invested in our district and care about our district. And his employment is also keeps him very on top of construction and cost and things of that nature. So he's very knowledgeable about a lot of the terminology that's used at the CBOC meetings, and I think he's a good asset to the CBOC, so I'm happy to see this extension.
Any more comments? Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is 7H. We have a motion and a second to ratify the contract agreement 2085 between the Roland Unified School District Educational Service and the Mount Sac College for use of the Federation Recital Hall on March 23rd, 2018.
I move.
Lynn move.
I'll second.
Don Freeman second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Abstain or recuse?
Abstain or recuse.
I recuse.
Virginia Pride recuse. 4
based
yes
on
and
employment.
1 recuse. Yeah. Motion carries. Right. Next item is 7I. Need a motion and a second to approve the revised job description of the position director of student services is presented to the board of review and approval. Need a motion? Yeah. Donna move.
Second.
Engineer Pai second. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Item 7J, need a motion and a second to approve contract between the Roland Unified School District and the County of Los Angeles.
I make a motion.
Angelina Pryde, make the motion.
I'll second.
Lynn, second. Discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 7K, This is for discussion only regarding the scheduled board study session, including dates and the times, as well as topics that are interest to the board as a whole. There will be a motion. No motion made this time. So, yeah, discussion only. Yeah.
This particular, sorry, can I introduce it?
Go ahead.
This particular topic has been placed on the agenda for direction, for the board to please give direction to me regarding our study sessions. As you know, we have approximately one study session a month, not entirely, about eight during the school year. And we have had, during some of our study sessions, while we talk about some of our agreements that we have, I need some clarification. At one point, it was a time I understood it to be to try to gauge our study sessions in a two-hour window of time from 4:30 to 6:30. And so I had was gauging those, and I had scheduled two topics, and that was too impactful in terms of I want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to have all of their questions answered, and staff has the opportunity to thoroughly provide topics that have been expressed as being an interest from the board. So during when we met in February, I understood that we would only do one topic per study session. But there's still a lot of interest, and each of you have different topics that you would like to have discussed. And as we have shared, if a topic, for instance, if Lynn has a topic of interest, but there's not a quorum or a majority of the board, then I would have the conversation with Lynn, but it doesn't need to be discussed in a study session. So I am looking for you five to have a discussion to provide direction to me about the length of time that you'd like for us to gauge our study session, start and end time, as well as the number of topics that you'd like to have, and also if there's some flexibility of expanding that time or shrinking that time. And then if there is an interest in sharing specific topics that you'd like to be explored as we're heading into either any future study session, and particularly in planning for next year. There's also will be an opportunity when we meet we have two study sessions in the month of May. There will be an opportunity to gather additional topics at that time as well, and there's always a time that you can bring topics forward as well. So I'm just seeking direction, please.
Okay.
Donna? I think it's okay to have two topics personally. As long as we know the time frame, and just I think those were two lengthy ones that we had that one time. So some are going to be less time than others. But if, for me, it's okay to go over the time than the 2 hours. I don't know. And then do you want to first talk about time and then talk about topics, or does it matter?
This is discretion of the board.
Right. So one of the ideas I would say is safety. It seems like all the employees are concerned about safety. I would recommend to put that on our next study session. I know we have facilities, but I would like maybe to have both of them, facilities and safety. And I don't know how the board feels about it.
Milken?
Those will both belong.
Each year, the board does a self-evaluation.
Yes.
And, you know, that might be something that we might want to take up at that time, you know, as far as planning study sessions for the following year at that self-evaluation. I think we need to be flexible, though. Items come up during the year that we might want to add in. But I think that'd be a good starting point would be during that self-evaluation, things that we might want to bring up as a study session. Safety, you know, there's so much happening in the news nowadays, not just in schools, but at shopping malls and everything else. And we made some major changes in our safety in our district. And I think it would be good to have that as a study subject. I don't know if we could, it almost need 2 hours to do it, I mean, to do it thoroughly. And I know, I think Mr. Flores is going to do facilities, I think, next time. So,
How long is facilities?
I would leave it up to Mr. Flores as to how much time he needs. I don't want to cut him short in order to get something else in there. But I do think we need a study session on safety and risk management.
Angelina?
When I saw this topic on the agenda, I did have a conversation with Julie to ask her, what is this about? One of the things that I would like to stress when it comes to the study sessions is what Dr. Mitchell said, not everything needs to be a study session. There's a lot of things. We have on our board people who have been here for different amounts of time, and so some things we may be well knowledgeable about, whereas other people aren't. They just have questions. You were a teacher. Ms. Friedman was a teacher for a number of years, so there's things she knows that maybe she's like, oh, I already know that, but maybe David doesn't know. So there are some things that are better taken care of by having a conversation with the superintendent and or staff members. As far as number of study sessions we have per year, the one thing that I would definitely like to say is there are certain months where we should absolutely not be having study sessions. And, of course, November and December are two of those. November, because now we do the whole week at Thanksgiving, that's too much pressure on staff as they're closing down the semester, the fall, getting ready to close down the small fall semester, and then to have a week off for Thanksgiving and to have to try to squeeze in a board meeting and a study session at the same time. December, we're only here for a couple of weeks. We have CSBA that either runs in November or December. It's just too much in those 2 months, and there should be no study sessions in there unless it's an emergency where things have to be approved. That should be the only reason why we would have a special session of any kind during those months. The month of January, I would say, would be questionable, depending upon how the superintendent feels about it, how the staff workload is after coming back from the holidays. And then, of course, June, July, and August should also be no study sessions, because that's usually a time. June is busy with graduations and closing the students out, and we usually don't we have to have two board meetings for budgetary items, and then July and August. I know August I like to try to disappear and take a break from work and everything, and that's usually like a good time for people to take vacations and stuff, not just the board but also several of our staff members. So that's just my thought on that. One of the other things I'd like to suggest, if there's specific topics that you just want to know a lot about, check out the CSBA workshops. And there was a survey that they just put out. I think I received it yesterday or today. Maybe yesterday. Did you guys receive it? Where they're asking about topics for workshops, because we can let CSBA like really spend a lot of time going deep into depth on certain topics for us. I know Ms. Evenkamp and I spent a lot of time on the fiscal ones when we first were elected, because we, you know, needed more. And so we spent a lot of time in CSBA workshops related to fiscal services. Two of the topics that I think should be required every year for study sessions are facilities. As we saw today, there's obviously some miscommunication somewhere going on. I know I don't know what's going on with that, so I'm curious to find out about that as well. And then instruction, especially with the SBAC and the dashboard and all that stuff, we have to know about data and how our students are performing. So those two should automatically be mandatory topics for every year. One of the final things I'll say is, as far as when it comes to time limit, I know I've been an advocate for study sessions not to go over 2 hours, and because those who know me well know that I'm a big proponent of work-life balance. And our staff put in a lot of hours. I mean, there are several staff members who were with us last night, and then they're here again tonight, and then they'll be at the, you know, working a dance or something tomorrow. And I think that it's important that our staff members have good work-life balance. I'm always lecturing Dr. Mitchell about this, telling her to go home. And I just want to make sure that we're not putting so much on them that they're spending 3 and 4 nights a week here late at work, when I know that they're here at 8 o'clock in the morning as well. So I think that we need to be considerate of that, their time too, and, you know, give them time to go home and see their kids. Lots of our employees have kids who are school age, and they have kids who are involved in activities, and they want to be able to see their children too. And I know they try to do a good job of alternating, but if they're presenting, that poses a problem. But I'd like to see as many of our staff. I know some staff have to work late because the schools, especially at the high schools, are going, you know, 24/7 sometimes, it seems like, but I'd like to give them the opportunity to get home to have dinner with their family or see their kids before they go to bed as well. And then we just want to make sure that they're doing their job. You know, the SBAC test scores are a big issue for us right now. This dashboard is a big issue for us right now. We need to make sure that we're focusing on instruction and student-centered services first as our priority, and then we can have one-on-one meetings with staff and the superintendent and assistant superintendents for specific questions. But I do agree that facilities and should definitely be one that we always look at, as well as instruction. And then, like Mr. Malkin said, maybe we can talk about it in our evaluation session about possible topics that we'd like to see for the coming year.
I think when Dr. Mitchell started it off, she gave us what her understanding was as far as direction from the board. And that's what I understood, too, because the board had mentioned, I think it was in the workshop, that we thought one topic was best. Now, there might be very short topics that once in a while we could do two, but it's almost going to have to be up to Dr. Mitchell to know how much material there is for, you know, to present. The other thing is, it's hard for her to anticipate how many questions we're going to have on any one topic. So I know the one that threw the monkey wrench and everything was that we had two, you know, we had two robust topics, and we had a second speaker in the wing waiting to speak. And we want to avoid that if possible. It's not fair to our speakers, you know, to have to wait either. So my suggestion is we stay with the one topic unless there are times when the time needed, you know, they may be short topics. We can do two topics on those. But I think that two-hour, two-and-a-half time frame is pretty good for most people. I agree with what others have said about staff time. You know, they have to not only prepare information for us, but they have to be here to present it and answer our questions. And if our meetings go too late, you know, I don't want to wear staff out. That's my thinking. So I think there are some two topic meetings. You probably could judge it best, but we do need to maybe make a list of the topics that are important to us that we think would be important to the whole board, so that you can do it. I don't know that we could do both safety and risk management. Whoops, that's where somebody is. I'm sorry. The facilities and safety on one time. I think that would be a really long one, because there are going to be a lot of questions and a lot of discussions. That, to me, I want to see both of them covered, but I don't know that we could do them both at the same time.
Donna?
So I misunderstood. I thought we were supposed to come up with a subject and then ask if does the board want that one, and then we're going to, yes, that's a good one the board wants. Both. So I misunderstood. I know, but when I said safety, I said, oh, what does the board think of that? And then it just, no, okay. All right. So because I had some more to discuss to see if the board is interested. Okay. And if you don't want safety, this, which
safety is a good one.
No, I know. I meant the next study session. Then I hope it's the following one, because it's really, the employees are really, I've heard a lot of people say that it's their big concern. So it would be nice to come out in the open and say what we're doing and everything, so they can feel safe. Another one I thought would be discipline. Just all over discipline, as far as what's happening in the classroom, the buses, anything that deals with discipline, to find out what's the school's discipline. Do we have a district? You know, each school has a discipline plan. It would be interesting to know, so that all the employees would know, if this happens, this is going to be the consequence. And that, to me, falls into safety also. They'll feel safe over that. I believe discipline is a very important subject. Another one, with our declining enrollment, I would like the one study session, which hopefully wouldn't take long, to tell us the enrollment projections by school, including the student number, the increase, decrease, the number of teachers, you know, if we're going to lose one teacher or gain a teacher. And then after that's done in September, compare the projections and let us know the projections of how did we do, were we off, or we had a higher enrollment than we thought. Let us know. And the last thing I would like maybe is, what are the counselors doing in the high school? just grades are a very important thing that's happening, and I think that would be nice to see exactly what's going on. Those would just be my...
The only one that I'm concerned about is the enrollment one. I think with that one, you start getting into personnel matters, because when you look at enrollment projections, you're also looking at staff projections. So I think that that one is better left for the way it is, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, left for the way it is where we're told about those type of things in our Friday letter. And then as far as, there was one more you said.
Let me just add to what you just said. I was at an open house and talking to a teacher, and she told me, oh, I'm the teacher that's going to be going this year. And I didn't know they were going to lose a teacher. So I was like, oh.
See, that's a personnel matter.
Though. I know, but so if we know.
That's something we should be talking about.
I didn't. She came up and told me.
Oh, no, in a study session. I mean, that's not, to me, conversation for a study session. Because that could be very sensitive, and then people could get the wrong interpretation, and people.
Well, I also put down.
I just see it all going wrong.
But there has to be some kind of formula they're using.
Well, they can tell us that.
And that would be good.
Or I would say I'd like to have a one-on-one conversation about that one.
I can also, if I can interject on that particular topic, one is the information you received from the teacher was incorrect. Was incorrect.
She said she got a letter and she's not going to get.
Oh, okay. That would be correct.
That she's not going to get hired. But that's not correct. Maybe. Okay, I'm so sorry.
I think that for, it sounds to me like your interest is to know, based on our current projections, what are we projecting to be our enrollment for the upcoming school year?
Exactly.
And how many teachers do we project that we will need? Based on our projected student enrollment. And then in September, once we are into the start of the school year, what are our actual enrollment and our actual staffing? We can provide that. It does not. That's not a topic of discussion, but I can give you, this is our enrollment projection of X number of students, mm-hmm. and with X number of students, you need X number of teachers.
Perfect.
And in September, this many I already give that to you in September. This many kids showed up. We talk about those pieces. What I'm not hearing is what's the discussion in it. So it doesn't sound to me that it's a study session. It's more a request for information.
So isn't like facilities like telling us information? And yes, you could ask questions. But
well, it's also study a discussion.
I thought study sessions are like to inform us of things also. It doesn't.
So it's usually things that cannot be put because they've got such depth into writing. So it's being able to engage in a conversation and to get some input about, with facilities, this is our projected timeline. Is there anything we want to be moving or changing? It sounded to me that, and that's why I'm asking for clarification, that your interest on the topic of enrollment is some data. You want to know what are the numbers now projected, what are the numbers for real when they show up. And so that can be given to you. I don't know what we would discuss.
Well, we would discuss, like, if you had a projection of, let's say, I know it came up last year that one staff had more teachers than the other, and but you said there's a formula. I don't know. I just wanted to make sure that it's equal.
That would be very. It is equal, and I think I think that gets into where Ms. Pride is talking about
Friday reporting
or one-on-one
session or one-on-one.
Well, all of us should really know that information.
That's a personal.
Well, it depends on what everybody's interest.
Oh yeah, that's
right.
I don't know. Aren't you interested in knowing that or not?
Well,
really?
We're provided with enrollment projections all the time.
I haven't seen that.
We had it last year. We had a conversation about it, yeah.
I've seen something.
And then about September. What each school looked like and everything. And I'm trying to be careful because I know I can't say things that we've talked about in closed session. But that information, I feel like, is either closed session or Friday letter as far as getting numbers and data.
And some of it, what we've talked about so far, would not qualify for a closed session conversation.
Right.
It wouldn't fit within the Brown Act for closed session.
No,
so I think maybe you and I can, because I don't think I'm necessarily understanding exactly what your interest is, because what I envision is providing a data chart, and a data chart.
By schools.
And really, there is nothing to discuss about the data chart because that I can, you may have clarifying questions, but, well, you know, what happened to this teacher? You've already taken action on those on with HR reports and things like that.
I know. I understand that.
So I think I'm missing the point.
Let me go back to, like, when we ran for office a couple of years ago. And enrollment was one of the issues that came up in one of our debates. And we did have a discussion as to what can we do to stop the declining enrollment. And issues came up about reintroducing music, having dual immersion programs, having arts, more electives for arts. And I think that's where the discussion part comes in. You can give us the numbers saying that we're losing X number of kids or students every year, but what can we do to reverse that? And I think that's when we need to discuss that we as community members know that people want music, they want the sciences, they want dual immersion. Well, how do you introduce that? And what do we need to change in order to do that? And how much is it going to cost? And that's where the discussion part comes in.
But wouldn't that be more of a discussion with community, not with us? I mean, right now, none of us have kids in the district anymore. So though we may have our ideas about what we think should be offered to keep enrollment up, it's not we want to know what the people who have kids currently in the district, at least that's what I would want to know, and they're not able to speak at the study session. I don't want to sit there and make decisions for them without having heard from them first. We need to hear from them.
I know I presented at the RHCCC meeting just the other day, and I got an earful from concerns people had about dropping kids off at school, the safety of it, and things like this.
But some schools have packed enrollment and some schools don't. And so are those schools always packed? Why? You know, like, there's a reason why. Is it because of, we could have the reason why, like, you know, there's more people moving in.
But that's a really broad
But
topic.
Like David said, we know why some leave. Why is it that we don't have something? What is that we don't have? Why are they leaving our district? Like, I know Walnut is up to the 10%. I'm not going to take any more of our kids, a board member told me. So hopefully that might help our enrollment. I don't know.
Well, I just think that when you're looking at a topic for study session, that it has to be something that we can actually glean some good information from and or use it as something to develop us, to make us better board members or keep us more knowledgeable about what's going on in the district. I think that enrollment or how to keep people from leaving is just going to be just a broad topic of people throwing out 50,000 ideas.
They know why they're leaving. They have to sign a permit saying why.
Well, I must say, we just did a survey in the district, the online survey. I'd like to see the results of that survey. And what did we learn from that survey? And that would just shed some light on, why people are leaving, why they're not satisfied with the district, what do they like about the district.
And the one thing, too, on that topic, just as a sidebar, is we can't have everything. We can't have everything that everybody has. No district can have everything. We have to meet the needs of our students and our communities. That's why I said that's a topic, to me, that needs to be had with the community, not with us. Not at first, at least. It's a topic that needs to be had with the community.
With enrollment, my suggestion would be to talk about it sometime, but probably during election time when you're out talking to people. That's when I got, some people saying, we left the district because you guys stopped music. Well, that's when I really knew. I got several people that said that, and that's why I've always pushed to bring music back. And once we, if we get ideas that we can give to Dr. Mitchell, when she gets several, she's going to give us the numbers anyway. It's not our job to figure out staffing. It's for the administration to do. But then if there are enough, maybe some ideas that have to do with enrollment, improving enrollment, then maybe that would be the time to schedule a study session so that we can discuss what ideas we think are good and what ideas we don't.
Well, I would like it as a topic, but if you, it's up to the board too. Like you said, we can all discuss it and say that, yes, you'd like it as a decision, or no, you wouldn't, you'd rather have it a Friday letter. I thought it should be good to get it out there for everybody to see, you know. But I don't know how everybody else feels. I think it's very important.
I'm on board for facilities, instruction, and safety so far.
What I want to see is if Dr. Mitchell can give us a list of the topic that we may be interested in, and then we look at it and we want to add or remove any of them.
But today was supposed to be for us to come up with ideas and for seeing if all of us or the majority wants that idea. And if we don't, it's not going to be on. And if it is, it is. That's what I thought the goal was.
Right. Well,
so that's what we should discuss. Mm-hmm.
Several of the ones that you brought up, I was thinking to generalize it. Like we have PBIS, you know, and we hear it's in phases being implemented.
And we've had it.
PBIS has a direct relationship to behavior. When do counselors get involved in behavior? So I can see a presentation on PBIS that would include how are counselors being utilized in PBIS, how is that being utilized to reduce suspensions and expulsions based on behavior, and, you know, generalizing that under PBIS.
Didn't we have a... Wasn't that a topic already?
Yeah, we had it one topic. Once.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember.
But he's just saying let's add the counseling.
Add the counseling component to it. And
elaborate more.
Yeah.
I know one thing I've mentioned that I would like to see us cover is the cybersecurity of our district. The cybersecurity of our district. How equipped are we with all the stuff going on and
exactly.
changing grades? And what should we know as a board? You know what? You know those kind of things are important, and what do employees need to know as employees? And you know, just you could elaborate on a lot of stuff.
Go on safety too. Mm-hmm. So is everybody okay for safety, or most of us?
Yes.
Yes.
Can we have it at the not maybe the next, but the next?
I would just ask if we can hold off a little while, just due to the transition with staff. I think that we need to finish getting all the people in place, maybe before.
I mean, we're prepared to have the conversation.
Okay.
So as it relates to the April 26th date, facilities is already scheduled,
right.
And that will be a long one. And I think safety won't be short either. In May, we have two study sessions. One is the 19th, which is a Saturday all day. Which most of that is in closed session because you'll be doing an evaluation. At that point, we can have an open session, study session topic and extend that. I would be happy to share that information. We also have a study session on May 24th. We could do it on that night as well. There is not a learning topic scheduled for that night as of yet. The schedule for May 24th would be employee recognition for longevity and retirements, and there is a closed session topic for May 24th.
Yeah.
There is not a learning topic on that evening as of this date.
Mm-hmm. So could we have it on May 24th after that?
I've had a discussion with Dr. Mitchell about May 24th already because I was asking for a timeline because my daughter's getting an award that night and I plan to be there, and it's at 7 o'clock. So, and we have to do the closed session item as a must. So I think that it would be hard to put in another.
Could you come earlier and start it earlier that day?
This is my busy time at work. It's a push for me to get away.
So the schedule for that day right now is employee recognition and starting, is employee longevity and retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And we typically start our study sessions at 4:30. I did provide a note in last Friday that maybe that meeting would start at 4, mm-hmm. because we have started that recognition. And we don't call the meeting to order at 4. It's a celebratory piece. So we would do the celebration of our employees from 4 to 5. I did get the numbers today from Brandy. There's about 50, right? Total of 50 employees we'd be recognizing, approximately, you know, I don't know what the split, but about 50 employees we would be recognizing on that evening. So I would say from about 4 to 5, we could we have to reset the room. So we could do some closed session and then come back out and do a learning topic at that point. Closed session is I defer to you as to how long that topic will take, because you will be providing information to me in that particular topic, because you'll be sharing the evaluation piece with me at that time. So we could potentially do the. I'm trying to figure.
May 24th. What about doing it during our board meeting then in May?
And so,
a presentation on safety and discussion.
So it will be, time will be very limited.
That depends on, yeah.
You'd rather have it on the board meeting?
I think it'll be long.
Well, if you, I know time limit is a concern for you.
Year.
But if time is a concern and you look at a full agenda for a board meeting, then you're depending on what else we have to take care of in May. I don't know, do we have certain things that have to go on the May agenda?
There will be some things that will go on the May agenda. I don't have that one formulated yet. I know the June 5th meeting is long.
Mm-hmm.
That is when we're doing our budget, and we are doing our LCAP already
right.
on June 5th. May will be, I know for certain on that agenda, already will be the renewal of the IQ Academy, which we heard part of this evening. That's on the agenda. And then I'm sorry, I don't have that one.
I mean, if there's
yet.
Usually we have
it's
a
usually
presentation
our meetings
of something,
are pretty typical.
But I'm just saying, if you want 2 hours on safety, I don't think that a regular board meeting would be a good place to have it.
Do you think it will last 2 hours to tell us all about safety that's going on in the district?
I don't need 2 hours, but it's you all that ask that we engage in a conversation typically. And if we can do it in a shorter period of time, maybe it could be done on the 24th.
Safety includes so many things, though. You can't.
Well, safety.
You might be thinking of one little part, but we have to determine what's going to be in that safety piece.
Yeah, is it just an update? Are you looking just for an update on what we're doing right now? Or
it would be
you
nice
want
to
more
tell us everything
specific.
That we're doing for safety for the district, so the employees will feel that they're taken care of, because a lot of employees feel like they're worried about a lot of things and their safety.
maybe there's a solution. Since we are very hard to find the time, everybody agree for the study
safety.
Session. Yeah, so Angelina will be here on 24th. So is it possible to have the facility department to just prepare a written report for us? We can read it at home. And
yes.
Yeah. And
whatever. We're here
instead
to
of
meet
a,
your needs. So
session or
to have
study
safety.
Session. Yeah, safety.
Because do you happen to know how long?
I think there's a lot of information we need to know.
How long will the facilities will take? I mean, we've done it before. They take at least, mm-hmm. it's at least 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
So if there's something we can read.
We haven't done anything with facilities.
And we need to understand the Oswald project better
mm-hmm.
than
Yeah, this
than
is
we
for
have,
safety.
Because that's
going to
be
facility.
A lot of emphasis on where Roland is going and how they're doing.
You're saying do safety instead of facilities?
Yes. Well, I'm talking about the safety.
Uh-huh.
Right, the safety.
And push facilities.
That's not going to work.
No, not after hearing what I heard tonight. I want to hear facilities.
And would the facilities both. Include the CBOC?
Hmm. No.
But I don't know what you mean by include the CBOC.
Would they attend? Is that what you mean?
But I don't know if that's what you're asking.
What was that you said? Well,
I don't know what the question is.
The bond monies,
yes.
have, how they're being allocated.
Yes.
What we have left?
Yes.
What's projected?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's an update of what's currently happening with facilities and the bond projects and looking at the timeline. Sorry, just a second. Sorry. Looking at the timeline for all of our projects. Some of facilities will include safety measures. Because there are, will you say this? You don't know what I'm thinking. All right, I got it. So, some of the facilities presentation will include some of the safety changes that have happened to facilities. It will not include staff, because those are separate. Some of that will be in the facilities conversation. And we have done some facilities, very brief facilities safety pieces that was in the budget before, but we have not done a full safety, comprehensive safety review. If you gave us a time limit, Julie, I need you to do it in 30 minutes, I can do it. If you said, Julie, you have an hour, I can fill it. I can talk for as long as you want.
The June 14th meeting, the second board meeting mm-hmm. in June, is usually pretty short, because don't we usually just come in to do final approvals on items, administrative items?
It can be a little bit of a lengthy meeting for business items, because there's a lot of contracts that are coming forward for the upcoming school year, and it's the last meeting before July 1, obviously. But from there are no topics of discussion. It is adopting the budget, adopting the LCAP, mm-hmm. and then there are, most of it is on consent. It's usually a very long agenda, but many of the items are on consent.
So then why don't we put safety to June 14th? If the teachers are if they're that concerned about it, they'll come to the meeting to hear about it.
I don't think it's fair to do that.
It's not fair then either to rush it.
Too. You think it's just certificated?
Well, most of the classified work during the summer. They're already here.
They are interested
here.
In safety. I've talked to.
Yeah, but they're already here.
I don't think it's fair to ask people to come on their vacation.
Think it's fair to ask the administration to try to rush something and to try to squeeze it into 30 minutes and then leave stuff out, and then we have to revisit the topic again because we didn't do it properly the first time.
I'm okay with
facilities. So we have to decide if we want it done fast or if we don't want it done right. I would rather wait and have it done right. We can get, Mr. Chin said, we can get a report just saying, here's what's going on right now. Then we'll give you additional information at a study session.
He was talking about facilities when he said that.
Oh, no.
I know that.
Yeah, facilities, there's questions.
I thought he was talking about safety.
I understand. I thought it was safety.
Okay. Okay. I thought he said safety.
But this idea to give us a written report for
I also
topics.
Want it to be done right, but I would. Yeah. I think it's better to do it during the school year.
Because you're asking for people. I'm just against the 24th. I've had a conversation with Julie about this 2 weeks ago, so the 24th stand late for me is just not going to happen. I'm going to be at my child's awards ceremony, so I'm going to be leaving here by 6:45, maybe 6:30, depending on traffic.
And what about changing it to 3 o'clock then?
You have to remember, I work, Donna.
Okay.
This is my busy time of year. I'm trying to make sure these kids get summer school classes.
Then we can go to May 19th, maybe.
To add another meeting?
Before the close, or after the closed, or whatever, before the close to do safety. Oh, no, that's a Saturday. I'd rather do it a weekday employees want to.
Yeah, I'm against having the staff come in on a Saturday for that.
I don't want that anyways. I forgot it was a Saturday.
Well, and if it helps the conversation, I can do the safety I can do it, and I'm here on Saturday anyway. So if it helps the discussion, can lead.
But Ms. Friedman wants the staff to be in attendance.
I'm trying to just find solutions. Yeah. So I'm just saying,
they might want to come to here and it will take their concerns away.
Well, we're just implementing a. Whole new mm-hmm. security program for the facilities, mm-hmm. and we really don't have enough under our belt to determine whether it's going to work or not work, or how well it's going to work. And moving it down the road, even though it's something that's we want to address immediately, it might be better because we'll have more of a track record to find out, are we on the right path or not, because we have a little bit more experience with this new system. So, yes, we'd like to do it as soon as possible, but there might be some benefits to holding off a little bit to see how this new system's going to work.
I wish I had a smart answer, but I don't.
While you were pondering that topic, I wanted to say that next year we've already approved our calendar. We have a study session scheduled for September, October, January, which is an all-day study session on a Friday, which is when we do our board workshop. February, March, April, and in May there are two. One is an all-day, which is, again, a special meeting for you to do the evaluation, and then a study session topic. So your interest that you had shared of not having a study session in November or December, that board has already adopted the calendar. Your interest of not having one in January does not exist.
Okay, that was up to you. You can gauge better after the holiday. Yep.
That's happened. That's an all day.
Yeah, but that's us. Just us, pretty much.
It's all day. We did it this year. We did it in February on a Friday, and next year we're doing it in January on a Friday. So it's an all day boards workshop.
So the two most pressing things that we need to do soon are safety and the facilities, correct?
Yeah, facilities is coming up.
Facilities is going to be this month. Mm-hmm. Well, we could do it the 24th. Angelina just wouldn't be here. I think she'd like to hear it, though.
Yeah, I was
it's an important one.
I'm kind of not okay with
that. Yeah, no, that's fine. Since we're adding it, it's kind of,
So, how about a written report, as I proposed? So
what?
Will it be a written report?
A
written report for everybody to study.
On what?
A study session, so we can read.
On safety, you saying have them submit us a written report in safety right now of what's going on, the transition with staff, the facilities items can be covered, Alex, in the facilities one. So we'll have, but then you'll be able to give us some more data maybe about like how Mr. Malkin said about how it's working. If we did another full study session on safety later.
Have to give us some more time to
And because we also have the testing going on with the badges right now as well, right?
Exactly. It's still
the new lobby program.
So we need to see what's going to happen with that. How are people responding to that as well?
I think I can touch upon the study session, some of the topics. Enrollment is going to be infused in there with a capacity study, so you'll see enrollment there. Some of the improvements of facilities will be, like Dr. Mitchell has shared, will be infused in the presentation. But the premise of this presentation that facilities will be on our bond and our 2012 bond, where we're going, what we anticipated in 2015, what the board last saw the presentation on, to what escalation of the cost of different things, what we need to do. And a lot of it's based upon the enrollment and our capacity that we have, which we were just finishing up our capacity study with architects for education that could provide information for us for that. That's going to drive that conversation. So some of these things will be covered, and which we anticipate to be at least an hour and a half with a half an hour for questions.
So
it comes down to facilities is our next one, and now when is safety going to be? We have to find out when safety will be.
Would you be okay with us having maybe that one be our first one in September when school starts back? Oh, no, hear me out. Yeah. Because then you got to remember, over those months between now and September, we'll have data on how the badging has worked, data on how the new safety department is working. We'll have hopefully permanent staff in place that maybe we can even meet them at that time, formally meet them, and the people, the teachers or classified or whoever comes to the meeting could also, meet them. They could have them there. We could also have data on did we get the new cameras installed? How's that That's working? Right. Did the incidents go down? Is vandalism down? Is graffiti down? Based upon us having more cameras and things like that. So it actually might be more beneficial just to have an update in writing right now, just saying this is what we're doing, and then the study session in September to say, okay, we told you guys what we were doing, now let us tell you what the results are as of right now and go from there. And then everybody's back at work in August, so by September, they should be willing to come if they're still concerned.
Well, it sounds like that's what the board wants. I know that classified and certificated are worried and concerned about their safety, and so that's why I'm bringing it to the whole board, thinking that we need to, because they need to know that they're safe and that we're going to be there for them and that we're doing everything we can. And so I think it's a good idea to let them know that we're on the right track and that safety is a priority, and we are there to make sure everything's going to go smoothly if something goes wrong, you know, and we have everything in place, just like you have mentioned. And I think that's important. But if the board thinks that it's too early to do it, I can't. I'm only one, and we're
five. I don't think it's necessarily that we think it's too early to do it. We just want to make sure we can get the most out of it. That's how my perspective is. I would like to get the most out of it as possible. And if they're concerned about the safety at their specific location they can talk that to their principal. They can address that with their director, either Miriam or Frank. They could direct that to the assistant soup or even to the superintendent. So there's things that they can, like right now, one of my big things at work is I have no window in my door. So if I have an irate person in my office with the door closed, that's a safety concern. I need my door changed. I didn't go and ask for a study session on that or, you know, go to the board for that. I just went to my boss and said, hey, I need a window, you know, so people can see what's going on in my office. So for things like that that's impacting their sites directly, they can get that information right now.
And what if it's not at the school? Can they approach you and say, ask you what kind of drill would they have if...
Yeah. Okay. So I think just listening to this, I think we actually are talking about two different things, and maybe I'm wrong, but it sounds like, John, your interest is to have a study session with the board to inform employees. Employees don't attend our study sessions, and it doesn't inform them. It informs you. Learning.
It's
right?
Not to inform them. It's to inform us everything that's going on.
Right, but what you've said was sensitive.
I would like the employees, if they want to come to listen, ones that are worried about, say, and if they had, you know, if they ahead of time tell us what their concerns are so we can address it.
So
we don't have an opportunity to do that.
So perhaps this would help. I don't know. I'm trying to help here. That perhaps we had a principal's meeting on the 4th of April. And in that meeting on the 4th of April, now, this is a principal's meeting, so that we went over the difference between safety and PBIS and discipline. And we talked about those three pieces. The expectation is that principals go back to their school sites, and if they have not already had an in-depth conversation this year regarding discipline and safety, that they hold that staff meeting with that topic within the next 2 to 3 weeks from April 4th. If they have already had that topic, then they are expected to put on the agenda for their staff to be able to ask any questions. Is there any clarifying questions, anything I can help you with? Our staff is, let me clarify, our principals are informed and have the information that you have already regarding district safety. They know about personnel. They know about cameras. They know about securing the perimeter. They know about safety drills. They have that information. They have the information that we have discussed individually around safety. So I think you're interested in making sure that staff feels is aware and has a level of knowledge will come from the principals, not from a study session.
No, but also the community, because I have heard that that wasn't a good decision about us switching for school safety.
Uh-huh.
And so I think it's important for them to know that it's still, number one, safety is our concern, even though we're doing it differently.
I think we can say that. We don't need a study session to say that, right?
Or, even at a board meeting, just to state what we're doing so that
Absolutely.
Everybody's aware.
And that's not a problem.
That could be a report.
That can be a report. We can do that.
Mm-hmm.
That can be a report. So I'm trying to listen to what everybody has, because everybody has slight, and I think we have a different interpretation, even of safety, perhaps. But we can provide a written report to the board, as Carrie had said. We can do a board report during a regular board meeting. We can do a study session. We can inform staff through principals' meetings. There's So and if you're looking for some data, like David talked about, I don't have much data.
Too early.
So maybe, though, for the board meeting report would be to inform everybody what's been done to beef up safety. Mm-hmm. You know, and it wouldn't have to take but 20 minutes, probably.
And we could do that
That's all I'm hoping for.
I could do that on the 24th. I mean, if
it's just a limited amount, but we have to make sure that when questions come up, that we keep the questions focused on that topic and not start venturing off into something that's going to drag it out. If we're going to agree to have a report just about what have we done for the, you know, how have we revamped this department, then that just needs to be the topic.
Yeah, but it's not just to beef up safety, but it's we did a major paradigm shift in how we monitor our schools for safety. And, you know, just today there was a thing on social media that somebody saw a sheriff's car at one of the schools, and they posted it, and they said they approached the principal to find out what it was all about, and they weren't happy with the response they got, and they thought that they were trying to cover something up. Well, if we're going to have sheriff cars, you know, as part of our security at the high schools, and parents see sheriffs there at the high schools, they need to know why those sheriff cars are there. They're there to prevent an incident from occurring, not to respond to an incident. And so, like I said, today on social media, somebody felt they were not happy with the response they got from the principal.
But that was not at a high school.
No, I realized
that. That was a sheriff's car at a different school for a different reason.
But,
yeah.
It was just how they responded, that they saw a sheriff's car there and they thought the principal was hiding something. So, you know, I don't think the community is aware of our paradigm shift that, you know, that we have people wearing yellow shirts now or goldenrod shirts, and that we have the sheriff's department from industry and Walnut, you know, participating.
What we expect them to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think, you know, that needs to be shared and needs to, you know, to get out there.
I could do that in 20 minutes.
See, sure. That's fine.
I think we should do that, just include it in one of the agendas coming up. It wouldn't
or do it on the 24th, if you said I can do that. So if we have from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock for employee recognition, do closed session for 45 minutes. We'll split the time that's left. I mean, I don't know. That's up to you guys how long that takes, too. And then we come back out. We could do, you know, 20-minute presentation with 20 minutes of questions and get you out to get to your daughter's presentation.
We
could wait and put it on the agenda at 10 o'clock at night. But so these people already know what's going on.
I like the idea of having it be an agenda item, but it's okay. Either way.
Since we have no other time, the only time available is 24th. So
no, but what Lynn is suggesting, having it at the board meeting.
Board meeting, and before the board meeting, if we can.
Or the 24th.
We can talk.
One of those.
Yeah. So either on 24th or short discussion, short meeting.
I
would say do it on
24th.
Do it on 24th.
Short, I say do it on the 24th.
Well, I can make it short.
But just say everything that we're doing that's great.
Make everything brief. Provide us information before 24th so we can prepare our question.
The information.
And as much as possible, we can submit the question to the staff for them to answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can shorten
the
discussion.
Information.
Yeah.
You guys have just said, yeah.
So how about that?
We can do that.
So we can do it, and I think that's the best solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
May 24th.
So, yeah, May 24th, a short meeting, but well-prepared short meeting.
Well-prepared.
Right?
Can I clarify?
That is our direction to Dr. Mitchell.
Okay. Can I clarify the direction?
Yeah,
make sure I have it.
Yeah, make sure
so,
I understand.
As I understand it, that we will have 2 hours for a study session in general. 4:30 to 6:30 is the interest of the board.
Isn't that the one you said 4 o'clock, though?
I'm just talking in general.
Okay.
In general. The general is it? So in general, when we have a study session, the interest of the board is to maintain it within a 2-hour window of time. And that One topic is best, but if they're little or short, we could do more than one topic. And I will try to be a better judge of that because I'm the one that blew that the last time. Is that consensus?
Yes.
Okay. Then we have this year, finishing this year, on April 26th, we have a study session on facilities. It will start at 4:30, and it will end at or near 6:30. On May 24th, we have a study session. The employee recognition will begin at 4. It will conclude at or near 5. Mm-hmm. We will then call our meeting to order. We will go into closed session. We'll reset the room. We'll come out of closed session. We will have a brief conversation about safety, of which you will already have a written information to have in advance. And we will conclude that meeting no later than 6:30 so that board members that have other obligations that evening can get to them. Do I understand that correctly?
Are people going to be able to come up and comment, the public comments?
Well, they comment at the beginning of the board meeting, so they would have to comment before we went into closed session usually.
And then they're going to have to wait around while we're in closed session to listen. That's going to be difficult for anyone that wants to say anything. Right?
It can change, but I can't gauge how long it's going to be if we're going to have closed. I mean, we have never had people, I mean, very rarely are there people that comment at our closed sessions. I mean, at our study sessions.
Can we do closed session last and do the safety first?
Well, you've asked me to contain time,
uh-huh.
And so we can't, because I can't reset the room. I have this room set up in one style for employee recognition. While we're in closed, staff will reset the room for a board meeting.
I would say, what you say, it will work.
Well, that's up to you guys. Are you expecting, Mrs. Friedman, for a lot of people to come?
Just if somebody has a question, they hear safety. Oh, I'm going to ask about, you know, I'd like to comment on this. And so hopefully in the presentation, we're going to answer those questions that they may have.
Okay, thank you. They just shared with me that that we do have to end because there's also a staff function that night. I mean, a district music function that evening. It's at 7. So let me just check the calendar as well, which is it's Gordon. I'm just double checking here. So that I have that. I'm sorry that I have it on a different evening. Okay. So it would still finish in time. So that's I defer back. I was trying to.
Well, since it's short, like what Lynn said, what if we did it on the regular board meeting?
I can.
What do you think, Angie?
I'm fine with whatever at this point.
It is a study session topic. We don't normally do a 20-minute report during a business meeting. So I would say we don't have a study session topic. If we contain it and we keep it short, we'll do it. And if we need to put public comments at the start, but I can't, I don't know.
Even there's comments, but I think we still have more time than the regular business session to discuss this item. So I think a short discussion, a short study session will be proper.
Yeah. I have a suggestion.
Is that it be a report, not a study session topic, and it be during a regular meeting, and we, you know, just tell them what we're doing, show some pictures. If they have questions, you know, make their comments anyway before the regular board meeting. And it wouldn't, you know, it's not going to be a two-hour topic. It's going to be a 30-minute topic maybe.
I can do either. Yeah, I can.
Because the report is usually, what, about 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, or 10.
10 minutes, yeah.
I think that would be the best solution for me.
I can do that. Carrie, not just need to know what's us. I can do that.
Yep. That's what we're saying.
Can do that.
And we could announce that then.
Okay, so we have two choices now.
Yeah, and we're going to follow up on this report in September with some results. So hopefully we can see how it's working, and that will be a study session.
That sounds great.
I can do that. Okay, so for clarification,
mm-hmm.
so it on May, okay, any meeting I can squeeze it in, between May and June. So I have three meetings, May 10th, June 5th, June 12th.
So the next board meeting, can we put on May 10th?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking from you guys. So I don't know how long that meeting is because those agendas are still being formed. I know the 5th would not be the meeting to put it on. So it's either going to be the 10th or it's going to be the 15th. Do I have the day right? No, I have the day wrong. But
May 10th is our next board meeting.
I believe so, yes. So it's June either 14th. The 5th or the 14th.
June 14th.
Of June. Mm-hmm. That was close.
The 10th, like Lynn said.
Which is,
that's good.
That's fine. I don't know what that agenda looks like yet. I don't know how long that agenda is. If you would like it there, I can make it there, and that would be perfect.
Let's put it there and just plan to stay a little late.
Okay.
Is that okay with
then
you?
Then we've decided. No. Decided something.
Yes, you guys? Okay.
Okay. Agree?
May
Angelina?
I just want to get it decided.
Okay.
Okay.
So my understanding is we will have a report on May 10th at our board meeting at May 10th to bring everyone up to speed regarding safety.
Yes.
And then as we have greater detail, we will schedule it in the fall, potentially in September. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yes.
And the longer the agenda, the shorter the report.
Got it. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the direction.
And then the other topics?
Uh-huh.
So the enrollment's going to be covered when you talk. In facilities? Enrollment?
No, not what you're asking
for. A little
for.
Bit. Yeah.
Let's send our suggestions to Julie for study sessions we want to have in the future.
But yeah. That's not what her goal was, for us to say, yes, we like that idea, and then we'll go for it. If not, she said, like, if only I'm the one that wants this one thing, we're not going to have it.
Well, she could, if you send them to her, she could send them out to us, and we could say yes or no.
Whatever you
and that way we could make the decision.
We never get
I think the interest time. Was a discussion for each of you to hear. So
if we could hear
if you're not interested in enrollment, then say okay. Yes, please, care. Or no, thank
yeah.
you. So I think that was what I think that's what you're asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're not interested in enrollment, it could be on Friday report.
Yeah, I prefer just a Friday report on the numbers because that's just a data thing. And if I have specific questions, then I'll either call.
How about you guys?
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what about discipline?
I would like something on discipline. What do you guys think about that?
That's a good topic, but we can't do it now.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah.
But we have to, tell Julie, yes, we'd like something on discipline. Is that okay with everybody
yeah.
else?
Sure.
I would like to expand it a little bit more than just discipline, though.
One of those negative ones.
When you say discipline, are you including PBIS, or what do you? I'm not too sure what discipline means.
What's happening with discipline, like the bus thing? What happens on the bus, you know, or what happens in the classroom, or if a student says something to classified certificated, what?
Now we're not planning the agenda; we're just giving the topic.
Exactly.
So we shouldn't be getting into all this.
What else did you want on it?
I don't know. There's so many variables with discipline. I mean, each one's individualized, and a lot of it's governed under Ed Code, and you don't have a choice because Ed Code tells you how you have to respond. I'm more concerned about what are we doing to be proactive rather than reactive. So
I'm concerned with consequences when
yeah.
somebody's hurt.
Is it something we have to decide tonight?
No.
Can't we just say discipline?
Yeah.
And then if we want to include certain
no,
things, you
can just give Dr. Mitchell the...
So discipline is one topic,
add it
sounds
topic.
Like.
Right. Add the discipline to the future topic.
For next year.
For future topics.
I think
for
we run the risk of creating too many topics in advance when we don't even know what's going to happen with the budget. We don't know what changes are going to come up with the dashboard. We don't know. There's so many things floating right now as far as legislation-wise, that we need to keep some of this stuff free, because there's going to be things that come up that then we're going to have to address, and then we're already nailing ourselves into specific topics. I think if we pick we have a couple right now. You know, we have facilities, we have safety, we have instruction, we have discipline or PBIS or whatever it will be. I think that that's a good start for us for right now. So that then we can see what's going to happen over these next few months. We have midterm elections coming up that could possibly change the whole playing field for education.
Parts of California could be separate state.
I'm just concerned that discipline has a negative connotation.
Yeah. Well, longest discussion.
Well, it's one of those negative words.
What?
And that's what I don't like about it.
Behavior. We could just call it behavior.
Yeah.
Well, and then that was the interest in terms of what are the consequences, which
But I don't. I prefer not to focus on the negative.
Julie, you undoubtedly have some plans for the future for your study sessions. Tell us, maybe in a Friday letter, tell us the things you have on the list.
Okay.
And maybe we could just help prioritize that. And so that's behavior is discipline, right? Mm-hmm. And then, Angelina, did you say some things?
No, my thing is just facilities, instruction, and
the dashboard.
And that falls under instruction.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And also leave a couple of slots open so when something pop up, then we can edit.
Okay.
And I would like you to add to that list the state of our district with cybersecurity.
The what?
Cybersecurity.
That can be under
September.
Sure, it could be any time.
That could be combined with the safety.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's safety.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Everybody all right? So Dr. Mitchell, you got a direction?
I'm great.
Okay.
I got it.
All right. Thank you. All right. All right, so let's move to the next item. The next item is 7L. Need the motion and the second, adopt a resolution proclaiming the week of May 6th through 12, 2018, as a week of teacher, and Tuesday, May 8, 2018, as date of teacher.
I'll move.
Second.
Donna? And Angelina Price, second. All favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 7M, I need a motion and a second to adopt resolution proclaiming Wednesday, May 9, 2018, the National School Nurse Day. The motion.
I move.
Lynn move.
I'll second.
Donna second. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 7N, I need a motion and a second to adopt resolution proclaiming May 19 through 26, 2018, the Classified School Employees Week. Motion.
Second motion.
Angelina Prime.
I'll motion. Second.
Donna second. Discussion. All favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. The next item, I need motion and the second, approve the expulsion of student number 17-18-09 from all schools and the programs of the Rowland Unified School District effective April 13, 2018, with a referral to a county or alternative school outside of the district for a placement in an educational program.
I move.
Donna move.
Second.
Angelina Price second. Discussion? In favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Consent calendar. And there are three items pulled from so in item 9B4, B10, and B11. So let's go to B4.
Say that again.
No, don't you have to have a motion for consent minus those things first?
Correct.
So I need a motion. I need a motion for the second for the consent count. Items.
Minus the
minus item 9B4, B10, and 9B11.
I'll move. Right.
Donna Booth.
Second.
Oh, yeah, we're done. Okay. Sorry, and who's second? Angelina, second. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. So all consent calendar items except these three are carried.
Last page.
Mm-hmm. First item poll for separate discussion and action item 94B. In a motion and a second to approve request from Rolling Unified School District Key Club International Student to attend the Key Club International District Convention in Reno, Nevada, April 13 to 15, 2018. Need a motion?
I move.
Lee move.
Second.
Donna second. Discussion? All favor say aye.
Was that pulled?
Was
it pulled? Then the person pulling it needs to tell us why.
Discussion.
Well, I was going to just recuse myself because I'm one of the sponsors for that club.
Okay. That's good.
Oh, okay.
Got it.
Back to voting.
Okay. Right. We're ready.
All favor say aye and
aye.
Aye. Opposed or recuse?
I recuse because I'm a sponsor for that club.
Mr. Malkin recuse. Four and one recuse. Motion carries. The next item is 9B10, I need a motion and a second. Approve the contract agreement between Rolling Unified School District, Taliesin Academy, and Win Education for services provided between April 19 and May 31st, 2018.
I move.
Lynn move.
I'll second.
Donna second. Officer say aye.
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 Recuse?
Recuse?
Opposed? Yeah. And Janina
recused.
Recuse.
I recuse.
That's it.
I've been working with them in the past, and I can't say if I'll do work with them again in the future, so I'd rather just recuse.
Okay. So four. Four in favor
yes.
And one
or yes
recuse.
And one recuse.
Motion carries. Item 9B11, I need a motion and a second approved contract agreement between Rolling Unified School District, Taliesin Academy, and Win Education for services provided between April 15 and May 30th, 2018.
I move.
Lynn?
Second.
Donna, second. Discussion? All favor say aye.
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 Recuse?
Opposed. First opposed.
Opposed?
That'll
recuse?
I recuse myself.
Mr. Ms. Pride? Yeah. So four, favorite, zero, and one recuse. Motion carries. Okay. Conference section, and now in conference section, and board member comments. So start with Lynn.
I've talked enough. I'll make it very, very short. Congratulations to Dr. Mitchell for being named the Educator of the Year through Senator Newman's office. And she represented us at a dinner, and it was nice to have our little Roland Unified represented at such a prestigious event. Just the choral music program last night was fabulous, I thought. It was a nice variety. The kids were all good, and they were bright. I enjoyed that, probably enjoyed that as much or more than any of the other music programs we've done. The elementary open houses have been going on, and I've been attending as many as I can. That's it.
Angelina?
Mine will be equally as short. Just want to highlight two events that I really, really enjoyed. I enjoy all the events that I attend, but you always have your favorite ones. The first one was the very special art show. I just love that event every year. I look forward to it. We have some really talented students who are enrolled in our special education program, and every year what they produce is just amazing.
truly amazing. And if any of you haven't ever been, I encourage you next year to definitely be there. And we will be hosting next year, right? Okay, yeah. So it'll be somewhere over here on our side of town next year. And then, as Ms. Ebbingham said, the choral show last night was just so fabulous. I mean, I just really enjoyed it. One young lady who sang the song from Hamilton, I feel like I was at the play again. That was just, it was just truly amazing. We truly do have some very, very talented musicians and singers and dancers. They're a little bit of dancing in our district. And a special thanks to all of the music program staff, and a really special thanks to Mr. Aquino. His passion for this program has truly taken it in an amazing direction. So just a wonderful event. Thank you.
Mr. Milken?
I did not yield you my time.
I have a few more things. First, I want to congratulate all the recipients that were recognized tonight, including Dr. Mitchell, who was recognized prior to the meeting, and Rocky, sitting back there, and also the Coach of the Year. So Samar Bhatt, is it, has been? Great to have all of our staff recognized by outside agencies. Real quickly, the Choral Music Festival. I wasn't aware until last night that we were on a 10-year hiatus on this. And it's been 10 years since we had this program. And that's when the program was cut back because of the cutback in the music. And you can see the number of students that participated were in the hundreds. And it's really great to have this back again. The place was packed with family members. I want to congratulate the recipients of the Founders Day A to May awards this year. RCPTA has an A to May award that they give out for community service. And Jonathan Chen, our orchestra director, got recognized. And Susan Mitchell, who did Stop for Aiden Foundation, they were both recognized with the A to May award for their service to the students. So I thought that was really nice. Special anniversary for the special arts program that Ms. Pride talked about. I agree with you. It's one of the highlights, you know, to go see that. And something that we as adults can learn. Interact and Key Club got together and did a dinner called Pause, a Charity Dinner. And went to International Relief Fund for Animals. They had over about 100 people there. They served us dinner at our table, and they raised money to rescue animals. And I thought that was great to see the two clubs working together. And the event I love every year, it is huge. It's the Parent Involvement Academy. They literally take over the entire Pacific Palms Hotel, every room there on two floors. And they have workshops for family members, parents, on everything. I mean, it's a whole catalog of workshops you can attend. And it's just a great program. It's an all-day event. And it's really, if you haven't gone there, you should go there and check it out. And then I really feel that, that I need to mention the passing of a community individual, William Bill Blevins. If those that have been here for a long time probably knew Bill. Those that haven't been here for a long time, you know of a park in Roland Heights called Bill Blevins Park. I just want to read one brief paragraph so you'll know why. The experience and reputation he gained from developing the athletics programs in Montebello, he actually left high school to go fight in World War II, came back out, got his degree, and then worked in Montebello. He soon presented a golden opportunity with the newly formed Roland Unified School District in Roland Heights. During his tenure in Roland Unified, 28 years with the school district, 21 years was in the capacity of Director of Recreation and Physical Education, overseeing the formal physical education and athletic programs of elementary, junior, and high schools within the district. Additionally, Bill served on the Roland Heights Community Coordinating Council, initiated the Roland Heights Senior Centers Program, and developed and directed the Teen Post Program, which provided after-school activities for Roland Unified School District, and coordinated the annual Special Olympics, and served as PTA recreational chairman for over 20 years for Roland. So he really was a big contributor to our community and to our school district, and he recently passed away a couple of weeks ago. So I'd like to honor him at our board meeting. And that's it.
Donna?
I'll try to be fast. It's hard. Okay. Thanks for sticking it out, everybody that's here. The awards I really enjoyed via quarter presentation. The two sisters from RUSD originally giving over 5,000 shoes was amazing. And I really enjoyed the parent talking about the IQ Academy. And then I also, just like David said, the RCPTA Founders Day celebration, all of those people do so much volunteering and dedication. Open houses, Santa Ana. Students told me the reason they are doing so much better is because the teachers really care about them and help them. The staff is very happy and working very hard for the success of their students. At Rorimer Elementary Open House, the classrooms looked outstanding. Bulletin boards showed off student work and all the hard work going on in each classroom. A TK student explained what he does on the iPad, telling me how he has to take a picture, and then he gets to talk into it and record his voice. I was impressed. So young. Lots of families were in attendance. I went to the Race Open House. Large attendance. There were lots of booths informing people and showing the work the students have done, as well as all about classes to attend. Rocky, Dr. Mitchell, and Mary Sue, Mara Walnut spoke. It was fun time by all. And I missed the music festival yesterday because I was at the Walnut City Council meeting talking about Roland Unified. I really enjoyed the surprise visits for Employees of the Year. Congratulations to Monica Valadez, classified at Giano, Dr. Mangulia, administrative at Northern Elementary, and Olivia Najar, teacher at Nogales High School. Congratulations to Rocky for being selected as the ACSA Administrator of the Year in Region 15 for the category of Adult Education. Congratulations to Dr. Mitchell for selected this year's 29th Senate District Woman of the Year, and also San Gabriel Tribune announcing Samir Bhatt from Nogales High School basketball coach. So many wonderful things happening at Roland. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to keep it short, and a lot of congratulations, Dr. Mitchell, for Woman of the Year, and Rocky, you deserve that honor. Yeah, and Administrator of the Year. Killian received the award of a distinguished school, and also the congratulate the all of the recipients today, and there are so many, and I'm so happy to see so many talented kids last night for in music, and the talented kids in arts for the art presentation at the special art presentation at the Hacienda Community Center. And they are so talented. And I think that's a very powerful tool for the kids, help them grow in art and in music. And I enjoyed the surprise visit to three school locations, announced the winners of the Teacher of the Year and the Employee of the Year and the Administrator of the Year. And I can see their faces so surprised and appreciate, and their kids were so happy to support their teachers and their principals and the administrators. And last month, and I think there's one progress I'd like to mention, is the involvement of the Asian community because of the dual immersion program. The Asian community usually in the past, they don't involve the community or the school district issues. Since last month, because of the dual immersion program, the STAR come into the board meeting and express their opinions, and STAR get involved. Last month, I distributed quite a lot of flyers. The local business, the Asian community business, they help us to distribute our flyers, and they are very happy to help us to display district information on their business counter, and not only for the dual immersion program. In the future, any school district information, they will help us to distribute. So I think that's a good sign for them to involve the district activities. So I'm very happy to see the change, and they are very supportive, actually. Yeah. I think that's it. Thank you very much for tonight, and a little bit long meeting, but very successful. Thank you. I need a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I move.
A
second.
Donna, a second. All favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Adjourn at 9:12. Thank you.